Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Once again, for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. So join the Twitter team we have there, and please check it out. And of course, also check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk Facebook page, and you also are welcome to ask to join the Bard's Logic Political Talk group, and of course, visit the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And also, you can follow the show here by going to the homepage here for the show, and then go under the icon, and you will see the little follow button. Just click that, and you will follow the show, getting updates for the show via times and topic. Now, tonight, we'll be talking about, with Obamacare looming, many businesses are cutting hours, hiring less full-time employees, and replacing them with part-time and temporary workers. And we will explore, will this be the new American middle class, working two part-time jobs, just to make ends meet? And also we'll discuss the Supreme Court recently ruled 7-2 that states requiring proof of citizenship to vote is illegal. And with the immigration reform bill discussion underway, what will happen to the American economic and political landscape if the Gang of Eight get their way? Please join into this discussion. All mics will stay open, and help share solutions to stop the reshaping of American life. And, of course, Bard's Logic Political Talk is the grassroots We the People show. Now, tonight, I'm going to okay, I see the guests in the chat. Welcome very much. And the call-in number to call in tonight, if you have been affected by the Obamacare now with your job, feel free to call in at area code 347-945-7428 and tell us what you know about what's going on out there. And I also have a couple articles that we will read or that I will read later, pending if we have time and, of course, opening the mic up to the callers first. And I do see we have a couple callers in here. And so what we'll do first is open up the mic here. 352, thank you very much for coming to the show. How are you? Okay, 352, your mic is live. Okay.
Oh, it's just
me, and I didn't mean to turn on the mic.
Okay. Well, we also have someone calling to the show. I didn't get their area code number. Who is actually the master's in business? Who's going to tell us what they know about what the effect of Obamacare is going to do on jobs? So what I'll do, Harriet, is I will close your mic, but of course push the one on your number dial. And this goes for all the folks. Press the one on your number dial if you'd like to chime in. We do have someone else who's calling in, so I will open up their mic. Thank you very much for calling to the show. How are you? Is this someone from around here? So 513, your mic is live.
Hey, Rob, it's Paul.
Oh, okay, great. I barely recognized the number. Thank you very much for calling in. As I was just mentioning in the show, I hear the folk calling in about with Masters in Business and also in business himself, who has some knowledge on what the effects of Obamacare is going to do with jobs and economics. So let's go ahead and impart on us and the audience what you know.
Yeah, really there's no motivation through Obamacare for us as business owners to continue to hire full-time. The benefits for us really are to hire part-time folks so that we don't have to concern ourselves with, is this person making enough money? Because once they reach over a certain percentage, now I have to make sure that, you know, they're receiving health care, and if not, I'm going to be paying the fine. So to avoid, you know, paying a fine, I just hire all the people at part-time, and, you know, I might bring them in at a higher rate, but make them work part-time so that I don't have to worry about the Obamacare.
And I know a lot of the places that hire a lot of part-time work are going to be hiring even more, and then, I mean, they hire part-time and full-time. They're also going to put them with the freeze on full-time work and in lieu of, and instead do part-time and even just temporary work. Temporary is on the rise as well. And if folks who are listening to the show either on the archives or here live, you can see some of the graphs that I put in the description of where the trends are right now with the hiring practices and what they are looking to be to come with the onset of Obamacare.
Well, traditionally, you know, we hired full-time all the time. However, now it's become almost completely a thing of the past. And, you know, we're only going to hire part-time folks. In fact, you know, we're going to require those folks to work about 28 hours. Now, the problem that that's going to have, the major impact that's going to have is, you know, the 40-hour work week is gone. That'll be a thing of the past. Because if you're working two part-time jobs and those employers are asking you to work 28 hours, you know, for each of them, now you're looking at working, you know, 56 hours a week. So 40 hours is gone.
So also, you know, and although you're working more hours, the pay rate's going to be much less. Thus, people's take-home is still going to be less, and of course, there's not going to be any benefits, and that's one of the reasons why they're only going to be giving the part-time job.
That's the unfortunate thing about Obamacare is, you know, these folks are going to be working more hours, making less money, and still they're not going to have health care coverage. They're going to have to take the Obamacare, if you will.
Right, and that's kind of, and we knew this even when it was, you know, coming down the pike, that the reason for this, from Obama, is that what they're trying to do is get folks on the single-payer system, of course, everyone eventually being on the government system, you know, of the healthcare system, and that, you know, that's what we call the single-payer system. And so that was the goal, and that's the end game. And for them to call it the affordable healthcare law is ridiculous, because we all know they're really starting to realize that it's anything but.
There's a lot of collateral damage that's coming through on here as well that's not even being addressed. Things like 401k. This is typically something that was offered to full-time employees. You know, when are you going to be able to invest in a 401k now? Dental insurance, vision insurance, you know, where are you going to be able to get these kind of things? That's not something that necessarily Obamacare is going to cover. So, you know, the collateral damage is out there. It's not even being spoken of. And if you're not earning a full-time, if you don't have a full-time position, where are you going to get those you know, extra things that normally would be covered by a full-time employer.
Well, yeah, and then with, you know, I'm glad you brought up the 401k because, of course, that's with retirement. And we all know, at least, you know, for folks in their 40s and older, or, you don't know, but, you know, we've got a very good inkling that Social Security is not going to be there when we retire. It's going to make harder for folks to save for retirement, and then, of course, save for retirement, pay for health care when they're older. And that's kind of part of the liberal plan, too. I mean, one of the vast liberal plans is for population control. And, of course, once you have an older population who can no longer afford to take care of themselves, I mean, what's the end game? Well, it's exactly that, the end game. They die. Let's just be honest, folks. That's what happens. And what that's going to do is in the liberal eye, when you no longer can continue and be a source of income, basically, for the government, well, then you're no longer worth it anymore. So this, you know, not having a retirement in order to even, you know, be able to pay for health care when you're older fits right in. I mean, even if it's Obamacare, you still won't be able to afford it because then, as you pointed out, Paul, that they won't even have the money through a retirement in order to do so. And so they'll be stuck in the system. And, of course, you know, we've all heard of the death panel in which, you know, folks will be determined whether they could even get the care or not. So, you know, then you're going to have the folks who they say are not contributing to society anymore, and I'm talking about the liberals, by not working anymore. And, of course, because when you're in your, you know, older years or, you know, old years, then you can no longer work. You can no longer contribute, even though that you have been contributing all those years into the system. But once that stops, the government is in no doesn't want you any longer, you know, even be a part of society.
You know, and all these supplemental benefits were designed to give you a good retirement and make you be able to enjoy your life through retirement. And if we're relying constantly on the government to provide not only our retirement but our living as well, you can expect your retirement to look a lot like how you're living on government funds.
Okay, there was a pause there because one of the things I like to do here on the show is I'm jumping between the chat here and I'm also chatting with folks on Facebook and on Twitter, so I'm multitasking. So if there is a little bit of pause, I apologize. I'm just reading some posts and let's look into someone here on Facebook. Okay, well, I'll get back with them later. And for the folks I see in the chat, thank you very much for coming to the show. And if you have any stories that you'd like to tell how your job has been affected either by Obamacare or the upcoming immigration reform and how your employers, and we'll tackle that more later about these wages and how actually people like, well, where does, you know, people may ask, well, where does Obamacare and the, you know, immigration bill, reform bill, well, how do they match? I mean, how do they come together? And that's definitely some things we'll talk about later, but just to give a little synopsis of it is, well, you know, if you're having part-time jobs, and we all know, then, you know, your part-time jobs, they just pay less. And who, you know, they're going to pay for who will do the work for cheaper. And when you have illegal immigrants or folks from other countries who will be willing to work for less pay, will come in and they will take, you know, they'll take those jobs. And then, of course, people have, you know, the companies will have to pay less. Now, businesses, of course, we know, is in business to make, you know, to make money. Okay, that's the part of being in business, and that's what they're going to go with. But, of course, that's also to a grander liberal agenda of bringing down the American lifestyle because they believe that, you know, we have it so unfair as according to the rest of the country. So what they have to do is use these measures such as immigration, what they're doing with immigration, what such as they're doing with Obamacare to, you know, pretty much bring America down. So what I'll say before we continue is for those who are listening here in the chat, if you'd like to call in and tell us any of your stories, how you're affected, the call-in number is 347-945-7428. And, of course, if you just want to call and listen in, that's fine as well. So what are the things that you've seen already, you know, in the business world and even make some specifics, if you're comfortable with that, where this is already starting to take place? Where people are, you know, or businesses are hiring less full time and, you know, cutting hours and things of that nature. That's already taking place in a lot of businesses, is it not?
Oh, it's happening everywhere. you absolutely could look at your major corporations and see that it's happening there as well. You know, the little guys are always going to follow the big guys. You know, the one thing that you can be assured of is, you know, the businesses are going to find a way to be profitable. They have to be. That's how they survive. So no matter what it is that, you know, Obama's going to throw out there and say, hey, you know, we want businesses to pay for this, we want businesses to pay for that, there's a break-even. You know, there has to be a break-even point. So unfortunately, you know, when you impose these kind of things onto businesses, the only way for those businesses to continue to break even would be to pass those costs along. And unfortunately, those costs are coming, you know, to the employees. You know, luckily, as you know, when I got my master's degree, I was able to come out and get into the workforce and, you know, have a nice job and then move on and have my own company and start my own company. But now we're able to bring on people who have master's degrees part-time in entry-level positions, and that's unheard of. And the reason being is because they don't want to work part-time. And unfortunately, the reality is if this continues, you're going to be working part-time, at least one a job, maybe two or three jobs.
Yeah, no, that would be you know, terrible. As you said, you're working more hours, making less pay. And, you know, of course, it's bad enough already that, you know, because of the way the economy is, the way, you know, how expensive things are now. I mean, most of your families already are two, you know, and this all ties in, are already two income families, and that really does put a strain on the family. It, you know, it really does. There's less time for parents to be able to spend with the children. So, of course, then the you know, government wants to put together government programs for children after school, and, of course, we know that those programs, and a lot of times, not all, but a lot of times are just indoctrination centers for children towards, you know, I don't want to say brainwash them, but indoctrinate them into liberal ways. And so, of course, when you don't have the family, you know, together, which is the unit of society, the foundation of society, because both parents pretty much have to work, and now it looks like even work more hours in order to, make it, then that's going to make it even harder for families out there. And, of course, that's going to be, as I said, less time for parents to spend with the children. So what's that going to happen? People are going to rely more on, you know, after-school programs and things of that nature. But none of them are all bad. But, of course, when you have it to the point where you're relying on them more so than time with the actual family, then I think that's going to be a detriment.
Absolutely. And, you know, less money is less money. It doesn't matter if it's in your home or if it's in a big business or if it's in the federal government. You know, you think about, if you want to really simplify it, you think about your home finances. You know, you'd love to take your kids to a European vacation this year, but if the money's not in the budget, you can't go on that vacation. Well, it's the same thing for the federal government. We'd love to have, you know, this Obamacare. We'd like to have this, you know, universal health care, but there's no money in the budget. How are we going to afford it? How do we pay for it? Well, if companies are continuing to hire people part-time and there's less money flowing through to companies through payroll, then that means there's less money flowing through for federal income tax as well. So if there's less taxes there, then where is the money coming from to support such a program that's already doesn't have the money to support it?
Well, one of the things that they're going to do to be able to get that money is for the government to get that money is they'll start with tax deductions. Right now you can do a tax deduction on how many children you have, the child credit. That's one of the things that's been thrown around, you know, because of the less influx of, you know, funds to the government. There's been talk about, you know, getting rid of the child credit. Now, of course, you know, that plays in hand because, you know, that's going to be less money that goes towards, you know, that goes towards the people. And also, I mean, this may sound terrible, but some people might de-incentivize for people to have children because they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have all these expenses. I'm not going to have – I mean, that's not the big reason why people – we all know that, but I'm saying it's something that takes away. And then also what they're going to be doing is get rid of the charitable contributions. People who get tax, you know, deductions for charitable contributions, they're talking about them going away. And that fits into the liberal plan because the way that it does that – is that, well, now you have these organizations who rely on donations. And, you know, most people, they give donations to the kindness of their heart. A lot of them do. But some give the larger donations, you know, for two reasons. One, of course, you know, because they believe in the organization and they want to help out society. They want to help out the organization. But they also get, you know, let's be honest, they get a good size, you know, tax deduction. Well, with that gone, there's to be less money going to the organization. Well, now where are the organizations going to have to go to? Well, then these organizations are going to have to, one, give up their 503C, you know, which, of course, you know, then they do that, you know, because they can't afford it any longer. And then who do they have to turn to for funds if they can't turn to people? Well, they might have to turn to the government, and that's one of the things the government wants to do. They want as many people to turn to them as possible. Now, this right now is in the most of the purview of the Democrat Party, the liberals in the Democrat Party, who want to build a constituency on dependence. But the bad thing is it's becoming more and more people who are dependent on the government that the Republicans are starting to become the Democrats' light. Not all of them. There's some, definitely some very good, you know, conservative Republicans out there, such as Cruz, you know, Rand Paul. But, you know, you still have, you know, your rhinos who are, in my opinion, have control of the Republican Party right now, you know, pretty much being Democrat-like because they're seeing that who these folks are voting for. They're seeing how these elections are going. So now they're kind of, you know, giving in because, of course, they, you know, what's a politician's number one goal? Well, that's to stay in power. You know, and so they're starting to be where they're trying to build a constituency of dependence. But where the Democrats, you know, go for, you know, the lower middle class folks or the lower class folks, the Republicans, at least for a while, but they're starting to move towards what the Democrats are going over, going corporate. You know, basically you have between corporate socialism or you have, you know, Marxist socialism. Well, what do you have? Who's stuck in the middle paying the bill for either corporate socialism or Marxist socialism? And it's the middle class. And that's one of the questions we have tonight. But we're going to be seeing the reshaping of the middle class here in America. And so, you know, because what we mentioned earlier about having to work the two jobs, two part-time jobs just to make ends meet. Well, I do have another caller on here, and I screened the calls, and they're going to be talking about what they're experiencing at their employment with work. So I will keep, now here on the show, I keep up all the mics, just we show respect to the other callers. So at this time, I'll open up your mic. I know you may want to speak with Anonymity. So I always have hot trouble with that song, Anonymity, about it. So go ahead. Thank you very much, and tell us your story. Your mic is live. 236.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay.
Good.
My name is Danielle.
Okay.
And I'm from Cincinnati.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, then they must have posted one of these Cincinnati things on Facebook. Must have got through you a bunch of things. Go ahead.
Yeah, I work for the Kroger company in Cincinnati, and Obamacare is already affecting my life there. We have this new thing called e-schedule, and they said it's preparing us for Obamacare because they want all their seasoned employees there on their busiest days. So I've had Sundays off for the last 7 years, and now they're taking that away from me. So, you know, that's one of the things that's affecting me with this Obamacare. And they're telling us that, you know, they're not going to hire full-time employees anymore, so they want all of us to carry the flack.
So now they want, so actually the folks who are going to be working, you know, and American, you know, people, American workers aren't lazy, but what it sounds like to me is what they're also going to do is tell folks, well, we're going to be hiring, you know, a lot of more part-time folks. So we're going to have to increase the burden with the same pay, if not less, but actually it'll be less pay if you think about it because then the benefits won't be part of it. But we're going to increase your workload.
Right.
For the full-time folks.
Right, and it's not fair. Now I have to work Sundays after 7 years. So it was okay last week, but next week it's going to, you know, go into effect and I have to work on Sunday. And that's the only day I can spend with my family.
Now, isn't the Kroger company part of a union? So are we saying that even companies that are part of a union, are gonna, employees of unions, companies and unions are also going to be affected?
Yes. As far as I know, the union hasn't even done anything yet, but our contract is up this October, where they renegotiate our wages and our benefits, and so that should be interesting in itself to see how that's going to go.
Not even unions are going to be immune to this. Immune to this either. So, go ahead.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still. Okay. Yeah, I keep the mics open. The mics all stay open.
I just want to make a comment. I hear this through a lot of my friends. When they call me and tell me, hey, what's going on with my company? My company's doing this to me. My company's doing that. You have to understand that the Kroger company isn't doing this to you. Obamacare is doing this to you. This is your company responding to something that's happening to them that is making them start to look at, what do I have to do to protect myself so that I can stay a viable company? If we don't react as a company, we're not going to survive. So we're trying to find a way to stay viable so that, we can still stay in business. I mean, this is something that has really affected us and has made us feel like, okay, we want to stay in business. How do we survive? This is how we do it. And that's the way business is always going to think. It doesn't matter what you throw at a company, at a corporation, that corporation is going to find a way to survive and find a way to make sure that it's still providing a good return to all of its stakeholders.
Well, one of the things, real quick, I'll chime in, is I like to do it here in the show for the new folks listening in, is that I like to bring things from the chat here on Blog Talk Radio, and also from other things if people are listening for chatting in from Twitter or on Facebook, is that from the Bard's Logic Political Talk page, is so we were talking about the tax refund earlier. Thank you, Tessa, for coming into the show, and I appreciate you coming to all the shows. I really appreciate that. It says the tax refund will be taken by Vocare. I love that. Vocare anyway, the Vocare penalty anyway, which, that's the thing with the IRS. That's why the scandal with the IRS is so important is, here they are targeting Tea Party members, targeting conservative contributors, and who is it going to be, the folks that are going to be overlooking, and giving out the penalties and collecting the penalties of the, of the Obamacare, but none other than the IRS. And so now you're going to have that tax refund. Yeah, if you don't do the Obamacare, if you don't have any other coverage, you're going to have to pay the penalty, for that, which, of course, what they'll do is they'll take that out of your tax refund. And that's, of course, another way where the government, because they're going to get lower tax revenues, is going to be able to make up for that. So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I want to put that in. I'd like to bring that in from the chat.
Absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely fine. I'm noticing. She's your last caller. She's in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm down here in Tampa, Florida. And I mean, bridge that gap, company to company. I mean, it's got to be across the country. I mean, this is something that, again, this isn't something your company is doing to you. This is something the country is doing to you. And your company's just reacting to something as well. So,
well, and there's another employer, and I'll go to the – we'll come back to you guys, but I'll go to this article that I have here. It says Obamacare's benefit mandate could further phase out full-time work. It says Walmart. This is part of the article, which I will post on the page on Facebook, the Bard's Logic Political Talk page. For folks to go to and check out these articles. But part of it says Walmart, the nation's largest employer, is leading the trend, having increased its share of temporary staff to 10% this year from between 1% and 2% last year. According to Reuters survey, 52 Walmart stores last month, it found that half the stores were hiring only temporary workers, something Walmart previously did only during the Christmas shopping season. And, so, Walmart store too, and who's going to be hit hardest? Well, the people going to be hit the hardest, of course, is your lower middle class folks, or the folks who one of the people in the family is out there, making a living at maybe a career type job or something of that nature. But of course, because it has to be a two family income, the other one is working at one of these places, such as Walmart or Kroger's, or these places that have part-time and full-time workers. So, you know, that's, they're all getting affected. Yeah, they, I mean, look at Walmart. So what's this going to do? And that's what I'm saying. This is what be, you know, reshaping America, you know, the American life.
Can I say something
go
else?
Ahead. Sure, go ahead, Daniel.
How is that going to affect, you know, hiring these part-time people to fill whatever position in your company? And who's going to care? Like these people who've been around as long as me, like 25 years, who's really going to care if they can't come in and get benefits and make a career out of working for your company? Are they going to care about your job? Are they going to want to do well for you?
That's a great point, because I mean, I was actually in a meeting today, and one of the things they brought up was the point of loyalty. There's like five important points, you know, to being a part of a, you know, for a career or what have you. And they said part of his loyalty says, you don't hear folks who stayed in the same job over and over again. That's one of the reasons why, you know, you have people who are older now who have to work because they didn't stay and probably weren't able to stay at a company for 34 years. I mean, that's almost unheard of anymore, where folks, you know, spend that. And I don't think it's disloyalty out of people right now where they can't be loyal to a company. I think what it is that they can't. They just cannot afford to be loyal to a company because, of course, they have to go where there are greener pastures. They have to go, just like, you know, as you mentioned, Paul, the companies have to do, you know, what they need to do to stay alive. Well, so do the employees. And the employees, you know, and you mentioned this, Danielle, is that, you know, if they find something better than where they're at, they're not going to care about their work. They're not going to care about the job. So you're going to have turnover, you know, and so there's, you know, back to my original point is, you know, the reshaping of American life. I mean, it used to be where, you know, you went, you worked a job, you saved for retirement, you know, the whole American way of life is going to change from one law, from one bill. And it's amazing, and I blame the Republicans just as much as I blame the Democrats. You know, maybe not as much, but a lot of ways. I mean, they've got the House of Representatives. It's considered a tax. They could do something about it, and they don't. I mean, they pretty much funded Obama. It's going to be up to the states now, and that's something we're going to have to talk about at length here on the show, you know, tonight and then other nights, because we need to talk about state sovereignties and states taking control of this through nullification of this bill. And that's where I think the fight's going to lie, and we're definitely going to have to find solutions, you know, other than, I mean, you know, as you said, Paul, and you too, I mean, the companies are going to do something to, you know, make sure that they stay afloat. The people, you know, are going to do what they need to do, you know, and of course it's going to, what it's going to do, it's something that the liberals do best, and it's going to make an us versus them mentality. You know, it's going to be the employees, instead of the employees and the employer working in concert to, you know, to do something, to accomplish whatever it is that they do. Well, now, you know, I could see more, you know, animosity between employees and employers. What do you guys think? I mean, it sounds like we have an employee here on one, you know, one instance, we have an employer on the other. So what do you guys think from both sides here?
Right.
You know,
they want us to make the customer happy, right? So
right.
What about making me happy so I can make the customer happy?
Well, you know what? I mean, that is an incredible dynamic that's going on. And unfortunately, you know, we have to, you know, as a company, now we have to put out performance metrics and ask the associates to, you know, meet these certain performance metrics. And when they do meet those performance metrics, those are the people who are rewarded and end up staying longer with the company because then they start making more money. Unfortunately, folks like yourself, Danielle, who, you know, have been with the company for a long time, I mean, that's a thing of the past because what we're thinking, I mean, like I said earlier in the show, where's the 401k? You know, there's collateral damage that's happening here where we're no longer thinking so much in terms of what is your retirement going to look like? We're looking at what does your immediate employment look like? And there's so many people in the job pool out there who are looking for a job, period, that we're able to get the best of the best and maybe not pay as much. And maybe the conditions aren't as great as they used to be because employers recognize that loyalty is not there anymore. So now we have to base everything on a certain set of performance metrics that if those performance metrics aren't met, well, there will be some turnover and we'll have to get somebody in there who can meet performance metrics. And again, this is something that companies are doing to react to what's in place. This isn't something that we prefer. This isn't something that we feel like, hey, this is a better way of doing business. This is us reacting to what's happening.
Right, and then, and that's one of the things I'm glad Cindy brought this in. Thank you very much, Cindy, for adding to the chat. And that's exactly what we need to do, which is good. That is what we need. These people need to wake up and, of course, you know, talk about America, you know, the people in America here. And she says, exactly, they will just get free stuff. And, of course, we're talking about the, you know, folks who are starting to live on and being the constituency of dependency, as I like to call them, from the government. And then retirement does not offer health insurance like back in the day. Well, and that's true, and that's, I mean, you do have a lot of companies. I mean, you know, I'm in a company that is really exploring alternate health care, to offer something other than Obamacare, because a lot of the companies, you know, as you pointed out, Paul, and I hope, you know, the people don't see it, you know, coming in your instance, Danielle, is that they're no longer going to offer it, or it's going to be too, you know, the company's no longer offering it, so it's either, okay, well, then they have to go to Obamacare. But then there are businesses out there that are looking to say, okay, well, now people are going to not get it from their employer. They're going to have independent health care bought through, you know, hopefully a private industry. But, of course, that brings us to the point, you know, we're making earlier. If people are working two part-time jobs and they're only making, you know, minimum wage or a little bit more, especially for the starters, how are they going to be able to afford that if they don't get Obamacare? How are they going to afford to get that, you know, independently owned health insurance, because they're not going to be able to afford it?
Yeah, they won't be able to afford it, and that's kind of the point. Is, you know, before it was affordable to have health insurance because your employer was paying a percentage of that premium. You know, it's just my opinion,
right.
But whenever you leave something up to, you know, the government, and you say we want the government to take us, we want the government, you got to understand that you're going to get bare minimum coverage here. I mean, that's what you're getting. So, you know, and it's the same with, I mean, look at the welfare and look at, you know, when people have their EBT cards and the whole nine yards, guys, you know, you're not eating on steak and potatoes here. This is, you know, you're getting bare minimum coverage for your family. And that's exactly what Obamacare is going to be for you, too. You know, you're going to go and you're going to go, a triage is going to look more like the BMV. Okay. It's not what it used to be. You know, working for an employer is also not going to be what it used to be, because this is something that is being imposed not just on the employee, but on the employer as well. And, you know, this is what America voted for. So at some point we have to take accountability for this and say, hey, you know, this is what we voted for. You know, if you don't like it, change it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, as I said earlier, you know, because I follow the election very closely, of course, anyone, you know, who's listened long-term to the show and knows this, is that, you know, that's why in part I kind of blame the Republicans. They should have never put up Romney. Romney was, you know, they pushed him, they pushed him on to be nominated, or I can say coordinated, and then he was a loss. There's so many reasons why Romney was the worst one. But that what they did is their strategy was flawed. They thought that the American people, you know, hated, disliked, whatever, Obama, scared of Obama so much that they would vote for anyone. And so the people would vote for, you know, Romney, who was, you know, if you look at his record, wasn't any better, you know, than Obama is, you know, because everything Obama's done nationally, you know, not everything, but a lot of things Obama's done nationally, Romney did in Massachusetts. You know, so he was the worst one to put up against him. But the more important thing is people, you know, realize, and of course a lot of it's messaging, is that, you know, we do have a culture, you know, well, at least a rising culture, or constituencies, I call it, of dependence. I mean, we have a lot of folks who are voting for the Democrat Party because they're like, well, wow, I got to have all this stuff. But it's something that people need to realize. This is something that the government created. They created, and namely right now, the Democrats, but the Republicans are getting just as bad. You know, they've created this to get where the people say, look, we don't vote for these guys. You know, we're going to, you know, vote out our livelihoods because they're getting all this stuff from the government. You know, and then the Republicans, I'll give them that. They fought for a while, but now, you know, when they see where the wind's blowing, then they started, you know, becoming, as I said, Democrat light. Now, what we need to do is what you pointed out, Cindy, is that we need to wake up. The people really do have to take the reins and, you know, and get the power back. Right now, it's the power, let's be honest, folks, is not in the hands of the American people. We have to bring it back, or else we will see the reshaping of the American life. Yep. Yeah, thank you, Cindy. It says it's not in the point, the plan. You know how hard we have. Well, yes, I do. I know we've worked very, very hard, Cindy. If you'd like to call in, give us your thoughts. Really appreciate it. Again, for other folks, like either listen in or call in, the call in number is 347-945-7428. And also, if you're listening here on the archive show, which I know many of you folks there listening now, listening to a recording. But one thing I'd like to have is for folks to also come to the live show. And I do know, at least for us Eastern time folks here, that it is a little bit later on at night. But if you could spend a little time with us here and be heard, I think that would be great. So, yes, any of you you'd like to chime in and give us a call, that would be great. Not sure what the answer is, but that's okay. You know, that we don't have, you know, we're looking for solutions. We don't know what the exact answer is. But we do need to, you know, show people and be heard that, you know, there's folks out there, you know, that have to be wake up, and there are. But one of the things that I want to bring up real quick, because this is important, we talked about this, you know, on the show, is that we all know, and this is getting to politics, but that's the theme here of the show, we all know this is an off season politically. A lot of people are asleep. You know, they get all riled up, they get all worked up, you know, about the politics, the elections, and once the elections are over, you know, just the attention span politically goes down. You know, people want to get back to their regular lives, and I'm going to link that into our discussion tonight. They want to get back to their regular lives, and so they don't pay attention. That's why now in these off seasons you see these governments, you know, like Obamacare, like this so-called immigration reform coming through now because not as many people are paying attention because it's not an election year. And that's actually part of the plan. Why have people have to end up working more hours? Well, of course, if people are spending almost their entire day working so that they can put food in, you know, food on the table, you know, clothes on their kids' back, roof over their head, then what's something they can't do? They cannot spend the time to pay attention to what the government's doing. They don't want us, they don't want we the people, okay? They don't want us to be able to pay attention to what they are doing because they are the new oligarchy, and what does that make us? It makes us the serfs. Okay, it's no longer where the politicians were in Washington to serve us. We are to serve them. And so that's definitely,
you know,
got to change.
You know, if you want to know what your government is doing, then be like those other people who were on the call. Watch what your company is doing. You know, your companies are largely going to be reacting to laws. They're going to be reacting to, you know, political agendas. They're going to be reacting to, you know, these kind of things that are happening not during the campaign, not during the election, but after the election's made and laws are being passed. So keep an eye on your company, and that'll tell you what's going on with your government. If you don't like what's going on in your company, then when it's time to vote, make that change.
Right. And there has to be, you know, change where it's a dramatic change between the two candidates. Why I think that Newt Gingrich would have been much better to run against Romney because he would have showed a stark contrast to people. And actually, for those of the folks on Facebook, I know there's a new Facebook page out there. I'm also going to put that when I get the chance on the Bard's Logic Political Talk page here on web Facebook. Is there's a new page about Newt Gingrich running in 2016, which of course 2016, which of course I'd be fully supporting, you know, if that comes. And, of course, as we've seen how important getting an organization done early is and winning a campaign, then I think the time to start that is now. But one of the other topics that we talked about tonight that I would like to discuss with you, too, if you like it, or if anybody else who wants to chime in on it, is the immigration reform bill. Now, the Supreme Court voted 7-2, making it illegal for states to have people show citizenship in order to vote. Of course, that brings it back to the state, and I do applaud Senator Cruz for introducing a bill to try to bring it back to state level, states level. So, well, not states level, but put it in legislation. And so then, of course, go back to the states so they can make the decision if they don't do it on the federal level. But I think he's trying to get things done federally, but we'll see how that goes for people who have to state citizenship in order to vote. So one of the things we're going to talk about that is, how is that going to affect the American way of life? Because if we have, of course, there's amnesty, where we don't have strong borders, and so you have more illegal immigrants going in, knowing that if they just buy their time, they're going to be able to become, amnesty too, with them getting in. And we know that because of the way Mexico is economically, that they're coming to America, and they'll work for less because they're not working for hardly anything in Mexico. But they come to the United States, they're making minimum wage or less, if you could do it. But they're willing to work for lower wages, let's be honest. And then also, what's that going to do for the citizens here? And that's going to make them harder to find work. And one of the things I liked about when Virgil Goode from the Constitution Party was running, and I still like this idea, and I wish somebody in the Republican Party, since they do control the House, would bring this up, would be, say, look, we are going to put a memorandum on immigration, both legal and illegal, until unemployment in America goes below 5%. Because then the citizens of this country will be the ones to fill these jobs once they come, if ever, come back. But, that's where these things go hand in hand. I like the ask you two folks here, on the line, and of course, if anyone else wants to chime in, that's fine, is if you have, the amnesty, these illegal immigrants getting these jobs, instead of citizens, what's that going to do to us, to the citizens who've been here, born here, things of that nature? Where do you see the society going from there, or employment for that, or employment for that matter?
Well, I think that you should definitely have to prove citizenship before you vote. I think that's just should be very basic at its core. Also, as far as taking jobs, there's not going to be enough jobs to be able to afford us to do that anymore. We have people, like I said earlier, who are graduating college who are more than happy to take these, minimum wage jobs because it's all that's out there. So, if we allow the illegal immigrants to fill in those job postings there, then there wouldn't even be those jobs available to people who are, legal, and they've come up and they went to college and, they're trying to do everything they can to, to make it survive. But, we have to make sure that those jobs are available first for the American citizens. And we have programs to, to make these people legal citizens. So, there are avenues they could take. But, so for them to come through illegally, I just feel like we have programs in place for those folks to come through legally. And we're not going to have enough jobs in America to be able to support both legal and illegal immigrants. It's just even the minimum wage jobs.
We do have someone like to chime in. I believe this is Harriet. Let me open up your mic. Thank you very much. Harriet, what's on your mind?
Okay,
go
can
ahead.
You hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. I'm at home. On this issue of the new law that people don't have to declare if they're citizens in order to vote, that has been clarified because I watched a little bit today of the march in Washington, and
mm-hmm.
I think Mike Huckabee was interviewing somebody, and they said that.
Yeah, I saw an article on that.
Yeah, and that this attorney read the law, the new law, and said that it only applies to federal. But the states
right.
can go ahead and make any kind of law or rule about people proving that they're citizens or not in order to vote. If the state wants that, they can have it. The federal law will not interfere with the state law.
Well, that's interesting because it came from Arizona. The law
yeah,
that got turned down by the Supreme Court was from Arizona, and they turned down them being able to do that.
Well, that is where the news came from because somebody was able to
interpret. Well, I'm not talking, Harry. I did hear a little bit about that, but I appreciate the update and you giving us more information. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that the scale is determination on the bill was interpreted, and so that is what the final resolution is, as far as I know. Cindy has the link up if people want to go into it and read about it. The link can explain it better than I can.
And thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Cindy, and thank you very much, Harriet.
You're welcome.
For supplying that. And what folks listening here live or on the archives could do is after the show, all the links that we talk about here and is supplied in the chat on the show will find its way to the Facebook page, the Bard's Logic Political Talk Facebook page, for folks to access later after the show for further reading. But since you did mention that, let me scroll down and see how long this article is, and then perhaps I can read it real quick for the folks. So I will do that, and then we'll go from there, okay? But I'm going to check something real quick. Give me a moment. Okay, sorry about that, folks. I just had to reply here to a message. So thank you very much. It looks like our business analyst there had to go. So thank you very much, Paul, for coming in. And, of course, we will have you more on. Now, he has a master's in business and also works for a corporation, a big company, which I won't name just in case some of the folks didn't like what he had to say. So we'll do that. But I'll go ahead and go with the article here. And I do see some folks on the line. If you'd like to chime in, just push 1 on your number dial. But while we're waiting for these folks to want to chime in, let me get back to that article. And it is a short one. So I will – where did I put that? Where did I put that article that you sent? There it is. And it is a short one, so I'll read it real quick. Or at least, it's not that short, so I'll read parts of it. So the U.S. Supreme Court threw out an Arizona law requiring evidence of citizenship for people registered to vote in a victory for minority rights advocates of the Obama administration. The justice said Arizona's proofs of citizenship law runs afoul of a federal statute that sets registration requirements. The 7-2 ruling limits the role played by the state and national elections, and raises questions about similar laws in 3 other states, Alabama, Georgia, and Kansas. So that's part of that. Trying to see where you talk about where. I'm not seeing where. And Cindy, if you'd like to either chime in. Or
it's the interpretation. Yeah, it's the
interpretation.
Portion? Yeah, and it was on the march today, and Huckabee was questioning someone who's an attorney who interpreted the ruling, and that's interpreted it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
there was a part of the article. Go ahead.
I don't know. This article I didn't read, so I can't comment on it. I can only comment on what I heard on the media today.
Folks can definitely, do some more research on it, and I will put the link for folks to read that article on the Facebook page for Bard's Logic Political Talk. So we'll definitely have them on the page. and you know people can read that further. And of course,
I'm going to find the article because it was on the Facebook following that. So I'm going to go search for that link. Yeah.
Well, great. Put it in the chat, and then we'll put it on,
yes,
on that page. And
yes,
we'll,
I will.
And we'll go from there. So, and of course, you know, we do want people to get involved and do their own research and things of that nature because, you know, sometimes, you know, there's going to be information that you're not going to hear. Of course, definitely not hearing on the mainstream media, but sometimes not even hear it on the, you know, conservative media as well.
Right, right. I'm going to search for that because there was a follow-up on it. So I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to go do my search, and I'll be back.
Okay, well, great. Well, we'll definitely we'll keep your mic open, Harriet.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so we'll go back to that article. And it says, a U.S. appeals court has invalidated the Arizona law, pointing to a 1993 federal statute that states must accept and use a standard registration document known as the Federal Form. That form instructs prospective voters to swear they are citizens under the penalty of perjury. Writing for the Supreme Court, Justice Antonin Scalia said the federal government has broad authority to displace state election rules. He pointed to the U.S. Constitution Elections Clause, which says Congress may override states in establishing the time, places, and manner of holding elections. The state's role in regulating congressional elections, while weighty and worthy of respect, has always existed subject to the express qualification that it terminates according to federal law, Scalia wrote. Now, I find that interesting, you know, that determination and even that wording interesting by Justice Scalia. So I also see some other folks there. Welcome to the show who just came on. If you'd like to chime in on anything that you heard tonight or anything that you read in the description, feel free. Just push the 1 on your number dial. And I will open up your mic, and as I do with others, I will keep the mics open. So if they want to chime in. Now, Danielle, I see think you're still on the line. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Now, I just, you know, like to share the wealth, so to speak. So, you know, if there's anything, you know, give people opportunity, because I do keep the mics open, as I said, to chime in. Is there anything that you'd like to chime in on about that? And I do see 386 that you'd like to chime in. And so after we get some comments here from Danielle, we'll open up your mic. Go ahead. Danielle.
Just something that Paul said earlier about people on EBT cards and they can barely make ends meet with that or whatever. I see people every day on EBT cards and they eat better than I do.
Wow. Yeah, I remember one time back when I was in college, there was a time where okay, great. Well, I was just reading a message. Thank you, Angela, for letting me know. I really appreciate that you giving me that message. Sorry, but just said, you know, I've got like 3 different places here that I'm contacting folks through. So, yeah, but anyway, you know, I remember I was in college and I was in line at the store and on my bologna and bread, you know, what a poor college kid can, well, I was a kid at the time, went back to an adult, but anyway, I digress. You know, I got my bologna and bread and then there's a lady in front of me and, you know, she's got, you know, steaks and dinners and all kinds of good stuff, stuff that I couldn't afford as a poor college student, and out whips out the Ohio discount card. Now, of course, that's today's EBT card, you know, what it is now. I'm thinking, where is the incentive for people to work? I mean, I understand, you know, a hand up and helping people out, and I understand some people need it. I understand. But there's so many people out there that cheat the system, and, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, I know there are folks that need it.
I've seen both where I work. I've seen it both ways. you can tell the people who, like, are ashamed to be on it and they really wish they didn't have to pull it out to pay. But then there's other people that come through, like you said, and they buy their steaks and their Grater's ice cream, and I'm just buying, you know, Kroger brand stuff. It's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, and not just like, where is, you know, where is the incentive to work? And what's, you know, I mean, there's no, what word am I looking for? I'm having a brain freeze here for a second. Is that, you know, there used to be kind of a, I don't want to say schism. What word am I looking for? I lost it. You know, tonight I'll be laying in bed and be like, oh my gosh, that's the word I was looking for. But there used to be something to that. There used to be, you know, but now it's just like, you know, it's like there's almost a pride. Not for everybody. I want to make that clear. I know that. There's almost a pride in those kind of folks you're talking about. There's a pride that they're gaming the system. And it really needs to be reformed. It really needs to be reformed more and not getting worse. But we do have someone else on the line like to chime in. Actually, I see two folks, and I'll let you in order. And so 386, thank you very much for calling in the show. 540, I do see you. And I'll be letting you in shortly. 386, thank you very much.
Hi, Robert. It's me, Cindy.
Hi, me, Cindy. Wow, that's an interesting name. Me, Cindy?
You think so, huh?
Me, Cindy? Like, yeah, it's, go ahead. I'm just teasing. Thank you very much for calling the show.
Well, I don't know how long my phone is going to stay connected because I'm in Texas and it's a very bad connection. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I don't know how long I'll stay connected, but I'll try. This, you know, what concerns me about the Supreme Court ruling is that what they're going by is a 1993 federal statute that says that states have to accept and use a standard registration document known as the federal form. And there's other stuff in that law, of course. It's, you know, the law is just one little thing. Anyway, to me, this is just a federal law. It was made, I suppose, by Congress or whoever, you know, would make a federal statute. I think that's our Congress. And I'm thinking, has the Supreme Court ever decided whether that law was unconstitutional or not? Because it seems to me that in 1993, if the federal government has said, states, you've got to accept what we say you're going to do for registration, that sounds like an unconstitutional law to me. Does anybody else know anything about that? Because I think that's where the problem lies in this story.
Well, that's definitely something I'll have to look more into. I'm no expert, of course. That's why I say Bard's logic. You know, what's that? Jack of all trades, master of none. But I'll definitely have to look more into it. And of course, if there's anyone out there who wants to give more information on that, if they have it, of course, I would appreciate it. I'm sure Cindy and the other folks in the audience will as well. And perhaps the next person we have on the line, we'll be able to give us more information on that. 540, thank you very much for coming to the show. How are you?
Hello, did you say 540?
Yes, I did.
I'm Cindy, too.
Oh, hi, Cindy. We have two Cindys on here.
So we're going to be Cindys on the line, okay?
I'm sorry?
Uh-oh.
Nothing, don't
worry.
Could
be trouble.
Well, I'll say me, Cindy, and Cindy. How about that?
Okay.
That's fine. I answer to most anything. I'm not exactly sure who your caller was because I got on the show and I just was hearing bits and pieces of it and I didn't see anything written up ahead of time, so I just jumped in because I haven't been on in so long.
Well, no problem. Well, thank you very much for calling the show. What's your thoughts on tonight? On our topic tonight?
The food stamps or the immigration or what?
Any of it. whatever you want to talk about.
I don't know what we're going to do to fix it. I think we're going to have to absolutely go all the way down to the bottom level and start our way back up. And that would just be a very nice way of putting it because I don't think it's going to be that nice.
No, I'd have to agree with you there. I know there's a lot of folks, you know, talk about, you know, and I know this. This got me a lot of slack because I did cover it, but I thought it was important because, you know, I'm more about principle than party or conservatism than party. But a lot of folks are saying, look, you know, we do realize that, you know, when it comes at least nationally, it's the Republican Party that is the folks who have the best chance of, you know, pushing back the Democrats. Of course, I don't know how much wherewithal they have anymore to do that. But on the local level, you know, some of your more liberty-minded and liberty parties, constitutional parties, may be the answer, at least on the local and as you make grassroots ground floor level. People talk about that. So what's your thoughts on that, Cindy?
Well, I think people just should read the Constitution before they go vote. They should forget whether they're Republican or Democrat or Independent or Conservative Party or Libertarian or whatever group they're going to be in. I don't care what group anybody's in. Everybody has the same rights as everybody else that's written in the Constitution, and some people seem to have a problem with that. If they don't believe,
there are people that have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
if they don't believe,
want to change the whole thing.
Right, if they don't believe like me, then they're wrong. Or if I don't believe like them, they're wrong. What it amounts to is everybody is not going to get along, but the Constitution protects everybody in this certain way, in the same way. And it doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Baptist or atheist or whatever you are, it's still there for you. But when people want to interpret it to their own benefit, that's where the problem comes in, and that's why there is so much problem and so much division. I don't care if people next door to me do things that I don't believe in. As long as the Constitution protects them, I'm fine with it. I don't care. As long as the federal government doesn't tell me something that I have to do that I do not believe in.
Right.
If that makes sense to you.
No, definitely. It definitely does. And I do believe that, you know, it is going to have to start from the grassroots. That's why, you know, I said earlier, it's so important for the
90% of people, excuse me, Robert, but 90% of people will tell you that's libertarian, but it's not. It's not libertarian. Mm-hmm. It's constitutional. The Constitution does not say you have to be a Christian. I choose to be a Christian, but that doesn't mean the people next door have to be a Christian. And that's where the fighting starts, and that's where everybody gets divided. But you don't have that problem on the left because they just don't care.
Let me tell you something. That is so true, Cindy.
That's why I did say during the
look, in my opinion, conservatives are more principled than liberals. I really do. Because conservatives, they'll say, look, there's a point where we're going to say no. We're going to stand up by what we believe, you know. But I don't think liberals do. I mean, look how many liberals still voted for Obama, and there's a lot of liberals who were still very angry with Obama because, you know,
I don't
they
care
thought
if
he
they're mad
liberal
at Obama. I don't care who they're mad at. I want them to believe in the Constitution and go by it.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Cindy. Go ahead, Cindy.
One day we had a family gathering at my mom's house. And we have this one family that's my uncle and his kids and all. They're all Democrats, and I mean dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, and they love Obama. And my dad, we got to talking about a gun issue, and my dad hauled out his copy of the Constitution and plopped it down on the desk in front of them. Well, they proceeded to open it up, and they go, well, we got to change this, and we got to change that. I mean, they can't wait to get their hands on the Constitution.
Yep.
And change it all around. They don't like it the way it is, and they don't like it that you and I have all the freedoms that we have. They want us bottled up nice and tight in a bottle.
No, but the point is I want them to have the freedoms they want too.
Right. But
I don't have a problem with them having the freedoms they have. Just leave me alone.
Right. Well, that's the thing. They want their rights, and they want things to go the way they want it. But we're not allowed to have the rights that we have, like our gun rights and free speech rights and religious rights and all that.
Well,
we're
not
allowed
business.
To have that.
That's not their business. It's the Constitution. And I'm sorry you were interrupted, Robert. But, I mean, you know, I choose to be a Christian. The people next door may not choose to be a Christian. I have so many atheist friends that I'm friends with on my Facebook that have more morals than some of the Christians I know. So all of that is irrelevant to me. How I live is how I choose to live because it's what I want to do. But how they choose to live is different. But the Constitution is the Constitution is the Constitution. The Constitution is not for Southern Baptists. The Constitution is not for a particular religious group. The Constitution is not for any particular group that wants to misuse it. It's just there. And that's where the division is so bad.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about, and let's use the Constitution in this context of what's going on with Obamacare and how that's going to, affect the American way of life.
Well, I think I don't need Obama to tell me what I need to do and what I don't need to do. I'm for the free market.
Well, Obamacare to do exactly that, right.
The Obamacare is not free market.
Right. Well, it's definitely telling you
they had to go to court to get her along. I mean, it's not his business. It's not their business. Now, if I want to live in a state that the state's rights support a certain thing I don't like, I can move. But when I live in an entire country that's getting it crammed down my throat, it makes it a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then you have this this reform bill, or so-called immigration reform bill, which I Rubio is starting to get really smacked because of this thing, and really either Ted Cruz or Rand Paul, if they're thinking 2016. Now, of course, I always, hope that Newt Gingrich will run back, and run 2016, and I think that would be great. Now, I think maybe a Rand or a Ted Cruz would be, a good running mate for him, but, that's something, we can talk about later.
Well, I think Newt would be a great running mate, but I think the time has passed, and I don't mean that sarcastically or anything else, but I just don't think the people that we have brought up with sitting in your thinking chair and if your parents call 911, if your kids call 911 when you whip their butt, I just don't know that time is still here.
Robert,
yeah.
can I give you my opinion on Rubio?
Go ahead, me, Cindy.
Okay. Rubio has told all these Mexican and, Latino social groups, well, I'm going to make sure that you get your citizenship, or at least, you're going to get your legalization.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around, he's talking to them on the one side, out of one side of his mouth. Then he turns over here and he talks to us over here, the conservatives. And he
mm-hmm.
says, don't worry, I'm not going to do anything until I get the border fence.
Right.
Well,
he's talking about two ends of the mouth.
Right. Well, then he goes ahead and, helps kill the bill about, the amendment providing for the border fence.
Right.
And then he's got all these excuses. And I'm sick of Rubio, and I'm done with him.
Well,
and
you just get an executive order to fix it.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to have – this is the reason that Rubio is doing this. He's getting set up for 2016. He is pick of our elite.
I don't care
that gave us
doing,
Romney
Cindy.
Last year. I mean, last
I want
time
the
they gave us
to do
Romney.
Their job.
That this is what we're going to get. You watch. We're going to have Rubio as our person at the con, and because of the rules changes that we did in Tampa, they're going to shove Rubio down our throats just like they shoved Romney down our throats. And the reason they're going to say the reason we're giving you Rubio is because he can get us the Latino vote, because he's
Lovely.
Made them happy. Well, in the process of winning the Latino vote, which is not that big of a legal vote, by the way, now he's going to lose a lot of us again, like Romney
lost
us.
Legal vote.
Huh?
You're so cute, legal quote.
Yeah, well, you know it.
Funny.
I mean,
you're really funny.
Well, tell her like it is. Yeah, the legal thing. But unfortunately, even the illegal vote counts.
Isn't that what this whole voter proof of citizenship thing is all about? The reason they're
mm-hmm.
kicking against the pricks is because they want to give us their Democrats. They want to give us, you know, they want to give those people a vote. And the illegals they're wanting the illegals to vote as well as the legals. And so now Marco's going after those voters, and he thinks that he's going to get them. But historically, it does not matter what Republicans do. They're not going to get the minority vote. That's all there is to it. They're going to go, thanks, Rubio. See you later.
That is the problem that I'm seeing in the American political system. And that's why I think maybe in the long run, it's a multi-party system that would better serve the American people instead of this Republican-Democrat duopoly. Is that we're so divided in so many different ways. You know, we're either, you know, blacks or whites or Latinos or what have you. You know,
yeah, the
or
right
the
is divided.
Or pagans or right or left or male and female.
The right's
or,
divided.
Or
the left is pretty solid.
We're so divided in so many different ways, you know, that instead of us thinking of ourselves as, okay, well, I mean, even if you know, Americans, we're Americans, but even if there's going to be some kind of split, instead of it being, you know, split into, okay, well, you're either conservative or liberal. Let's just use the basic one. It's not like that anymore. It's like, well, okay, you know, you have so many different things, you know, that are dividing people in the different so many subcategories. Then it's really, you know, damaging the political system. And what it's caused, and I'm sure you guys, you know, will agree, is that it's causing a lot of pandering. And that's why it's becoming, you know, the two-party system is becoming more like a one-party system, where both parties are just pretty much marrying each other, and that's why we're running down the socialist path.
Yep.
I think
it's
you should
all
have no parties. Just listen to everybody fight about it and figure out who you're going to vote for and go vote.
There you go. Just get rid of the party system altogether. But then every two,
yeah,
so much,
I mean,
you know.
Then there wouldn't be any profit in it for people.
Right. Yeah. I know what you mean. That'll never happen just because the money.
Oh, I understand that.
But
yeah,
if you have, you know, at least starting on the local level, you know, look into the multi parties at the local level, because then you'll have more competition. You know, of course, the more competition.
Well, there's more accountability.
Right, more accountability, probably less corruption, less concentration of money and power.
Can you hear me? Robert, will you check your message, because I emailed you the report from my page, and it was on True to Vote.
There's a video, but is it a video or is it just an audio?
I think it's a video, and I sent you the whole link.
I just have an audio here. I went to the link that you gave me, and I just have an audio.
All right. Well, whatever. It has a picture of the TrueToLink attorney on.
Yeah, it's got June 18th, the Governor Mike Huckabee,
Christian
Adams on Supreme Court ruling on the Arizona law. And it's just an audio. How long is the audio?
I would say more than 5 minutes, but he tells the interpretation of the attorney and the court ruling with Scala that the fact is, according to what they say, the states now have the right to enforce whatever rule they want as declaring whether a person could has to show that they are a citizen or not.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. If it's only 5 minutes, let me see if I can play the audio here. And
Cindy Todd is a belongs to True to Vote just as well as I do, and I'm just wondering because it's been on the network all day today, and
okay.
So but I thought it was from the march in Washington, but when I went back, I had saved it on my page.
Okay,
so
well, let me
I
go
send
ahead
you
and
the link. I send you the link. If you play it, you'll understand.
Well, that's what I'm actually getting ready to do. I'll play it, and if it doesn't sound good in the audio, over the mic here, let me know, and I'll see if I can adjust it. We'll see if we can play it now, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Let me just get something set up here.
Yeah, I just like clarification. That's all.
So, check it out.
Welcome back to the Point Company Show. It's Tuesday. Yesterday, a major decision coming down from the Supreme Court regarding Arizona's voter ID law. And at first glance, I think everybody said, oh, the conservatives lost, and Scalia voted with the liberals, and the liberals won, and that's the way it seemed to be interpreted. Somebody's got a different opinion of that, and I believe he's got a lot of credibility to express it. Christian Adams, who is right now EJ Media's legal editor, also a New York Times best-selling author of the book Injustice. But before that was an election lawyer who served in the voting rights section at the Department of Justice, where I think he had about all of it he could take. He joins me now to discuss the case yesterday. Christian, it's great to have you here.
And thank you for having me, Governor.
You had a very different read on this case yesterday from the Supreme Court. Conservatives thought, oh, we've lost. You say, no, not so fast.
Well, that's exactly right. Something very strange happened after the decision. The left know they lost, but they were telling everybody they won, and our side said they lost but didn't realize we really won. Here's why. I've been fighting these fights for years about what's called preemption, which is a fancy word for who wins, federal or state. And for a
And before I continue, folks, so how's the audio on that?
It's good. I can hear it.
Okay, great.
It's good.
And Cindy's? Okay.
It's okay.
Very long time, the left has wanted to preempt everything about registration for elections. And so the case yesterday dealt with a form that Arizona was using, and it's called the federal form. If you register to vote using this federal form, the court ruled that states can't ask you for proof of citizenship. And that's where most conservatives stopped. They stopped listening after that and got very upset that they thought illegals were going to be voting in our elections. But what they didn't see, and Justice Scalia, that Wiley Fox did, was say that nothing else is preempted. If a state wants to use a state form, they could ask for proof. And even better, if they use the federal form, they can hold it up and look for verification on their own. And that's something the left simply had been fighting to stop from happening for a decade. And Scalia settled the score yesterday, and he settled the score for election integrity.
So what really happens, Arizona can continue to ask for proof of citizenship as long as they use the state form and not a federal form. Is that correct?
Exactly. And they can keep those federal forms in the back room gathering dust. They can just not hand them out. Now, if somebody wanders in with a federal form, Justice Scalia did something even more brilliant. He said that if somebody still uses this federal form, it's true. Arizona can't require, like, a birth certificate to go along with it. But Arizona can do a whole lot of stuff that the left didn't want them to do, including accessing federal citizenship databases to see if that person really is a citizen. They can just refuse to register them until they do double-checking and triple-checking. And before yesterday, the left would say, all the left-wing groups who are involved in this would say, You can't do that. Federal preemption, you better not be checking anybody. And so they have, over the years, browbeat state and local election officials into doing nothing when a federal form comes in. And Scalia changed all that yesterday.
Well, how did the media miss it so blatantly then?
Well, the reason is that whenever an election law decision comes down, the mainstream media turns to the familiar left-wing narrative writers like the Brennan Center, the Project Vote, MALDEF, NAACP, all the groups that have been driving the narrative on election issues for 30 years. And so the conservative media really is late to the game, and they aren't as sophisticated understanding these issues, rightfully so. It's not their fault. They're very complicated issues, and there's just a learning curve that the conservative media hasn't caught up yet.
You know, I mean, it totally transforms the nature of the decision yesterday. One of the questions that becomes quite obvious, why did all the liberals on the court vote for the decision?
Well, that's a great question, and the reason is this. They sort of were the mirror image of the conservatives, you know, the conservative dogs chasing the squirrel that happened yesterday, that, you know, Arizona lost and therefore must be bad. They like federal preemption. And there is a good chance that that this case could have gone the other way on the very narrow Arizona point, but the liberals liked to strike it down. They chased the shiny object, and they wanted to strike down Arizona's law, and Scalia just had seniority, so he got to write the opinion, and that's why it came out the way it did, with Scalia joining the liberals to undermine the liberals in the long run.
Well, it was really, I think, a remarkable turn. So will other states, because there were, I think, five other states, I want to think four or five, who had a similar law, 12 other states with laws pending, does that give them now the, I guess, really the precedent to move forward and to keep their laws in force as they are written?
Well, it not only gives them the precedent to keep it in force as they're written, but remember, it gives them the chance to do the stuff they've always wanted to do now that the left has been saying you can't do, and that is to accept the federal form, but run those citizenship checks off of the SAVE database, which is a database of non-citizens. Do all sorts of double and triple checking. For example, a lot of people say get out of jury duty by saying that they are non-citizens. I can't be on the jury because I'm not an American. Well, now this decision gives state and local election officials the power, the right, to go and get those jury declination forms and double-check against them. So this decision empowers election integrity in ways that the left has been dreaming for years to prevent.
You know, it's really a remarkable thing. I always knew Scalia was a genius and a brilliant man. I've duck hunted with him. I think he's a great guy. He's a terrific sense of humor. But maybe he's smarter than any of us even imagined if he carefully crafted to make this all work so that states can, in fact, enforce their voting laws.
And that's what he was up to. And states like South Carolina and Kansas, which have similar laws, and Georgia, will be able to really vigorously enforce them in ways that in the past the left would threaten you. They would write nasty letters to state election officials saying, you know you can't check anything about this federal form, don't you? You better accept them all. And now those states can wave Scalia's opinion in their faces and say, no, this says right here that we can look behind the federal form for authenticity of citizenship.
You know, from your time at the Department of Justice dealing in the voting rights section, I know you saw a lot of stuff, particularly the new Black Panther Party intimidation of voters in Philadelphia, and I think that was, as I recall, one of the reasons that you finally had headed up to your nostrils and above. Do you recognize the Department of Justice you once worked for?
Oh, heavens no. It is completely transformed into a powerful platform for pushing a progressive, hardcore left-wing agenda. The law is a mere suggestion these days, and it's a tragedy because the rule of law is what sustains civilizations. And this Justice Department or this Attorney General view the law as a nuisance more often, unfortunately, than a rule.
And I'm sure you've got a lot of friends who are still there, people with whom you at least occasionally would bump into. What is the morale like among the rank and file?
Well, among people who believe like you and me, it's terrible. They just today had a giant celebration of Gay Day, literally, at the Great Hall. They had Eric Holder and Melissa Etheridge. I just posted a PJ Media story about it. Things are happening now that would have never happened under any attorney general, and it's very depressing to these people.
So they're going to have a big Gay Pride Day. I'm sure they're going to have, like, a Christian Appreciation Day later this year.
Quite the opposite. They actually harass Christians and evangelicals in many parts of this Justice Department when they're open about their faith.
It is amazing. Truly amazing. I never thought I'd live to see it. You know, and if they want to recognize one group, fine, but I just find it amazing that the one group that is absolutely targeted for non-inclusion would be Christians in this day and time. Well, Christian, I appreciate your being here. It's a really great insight.
Okay, folks, what do you think about that? I've got an article that I'm going to go back to. They may put a little bit more light on it, perhaps not to the point where it's agreeing with it. It may actually...
Hey, Robert?
Yes, go ahead.
You remember the article that I put in the chat? That actually talks about exactly what he was saying to him. They were going to be able to go around this. They're already planning on going around this. Down on the very last couple of paragraphs, it explains how they're going to do what he just talked about doing. And, you know, they also, True the Vote also put out an article today that says that Ted Cruz plans to change the immigration bill. In fact, it says this just hours after the Supreme Court ruled that federal law preempted Arizona from requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. Senator Ted Cruz said he was going to try to change that. He tweeted this: "I'll file amendment to immigration bill that permits states to require ID before registering voters."
Real quick, Sam, I'm sorry, someone's got some noise in the background. If they can please mute the mic until then, I'd appreciate it just because, as I said, we got some background noise. I'm sorry, Cindy, go ahead.
Okay, I don't think it's me. I'm sitting on my bed very quietly.
No, it's somebody who's doing something in the background. If they could mute the mic until they're done with that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Let me just read this tweet from Senator Cruz. "I'll file amendment to immigration bill that permits states to require ID before registering voters and close this hole in federal statutory law." So he's going to come up with an amendment, and, you know, they're going to fight it. But basically, Arizona can do what that guy just said to Governor Huckabee, that they can just put out there on the desk all their Arizona state registration forms. Now, that's not going to mean that, you know, the social group, you know, what Obama's people, you know, what's his ACORN. That doesn't mean that ACORN's under new name aren't going to be bringing in there a stack of federal registration, you know, voter registration forms, you know, and they're going to pass those out to everybody that, you know, they can. So they're going to be out there. They're going to have that problem. But it's like he said, there's going to be ways that Arizona can get around this. And I don't know how long old Jan is going to be the governor, but those people seem to be on the ball, and they're willing to do what it takes to stop this immigration craziness. And so they're going to keep working on this. I don't think they're going to let it go. And also, other states have already done such a thing, like Louisiana uses only a state form. There's some others. Now, Alabama, Kansas, I can't remember which other states, but there's three or four other states that have this law. that now their law is going to be also nullified because of this. They've been preempted too, but they will have the same option. And those people are smart enough to know what they can do. Just because the media doesn't give the right information doesn't mean that they don't know this.
Also, Senator Cornyn, he put an amendment out that would delay permanent legal status to undocumented immigrants if the government fails to meet certain goals like surveillance, things of that nature, or stopping, you know, illegal crossings, or up to, I think, 90% of illegal crossings.
By the way,
I'm really
confused.
Isn't it the law? Isn't this a federal law? Isn't this the government's job to secure the borders?
Yeah, it's one of the few of the federal government's jobs.
That is their job. So, I mean, if they would just do that first, then we could have a civil conversation.
Right.
Just do your job. Then we will deal with what's left inside. I'm good with that.
But what we know about the liberals who are in charge is that they don't want to do their job. They want to do the job that they want to do the job that gets them the most votes. That's what they're trying to do. They constantly run. They're always campaigning.
Well, and that's what Rubio is doing. You know, of course, you have your counter. Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, things that Cruz is doing and Rand Paul isn't also, you know, they've got their eye on another ball, too. So, I mean, what they're doing might be geared towards, you know, them running, too, of course, in opposition to someone like a Rubio, which, hey, I'm all for that. As I said earlier, of course, I prefer Newt Gingrich to run, which, boy, that would be phenomenal if he ran again. And I think, start working on that soon to build that organization that we all know, especially for those of us who paid so much attention to the 2012 election, how important it is to set up that organization.
If that's what he wants.
I was just thinking, listening to all this conversation, that we concentrate so much on getting out to vote, when perhaps we should concentrate on registering to vote as Republican.
I don't claim a party in my state. I just register to vote. I do not have to claim a party, and I think that's the way
I know that. But if you are for a party, you know, and I think that we should concentrate on to get out and register people, because in the past two elections, as I would go through shopping centers and malls and walking on the avenue, I would see the other side have people who are standing with registration forms and walking up to people and asking them to register to vote for, I guess, whatever party that is doing this. And that has worked. That has worked for the other
side. Really weird,
very,
Robert.
Very aware.
Which Cindy was that?
This just hit me really weird. Why do I have to register to vote? Why can't I just go say, I live here, here's my ID, I want to vote today?
I'm not disputing anything. I'm just
saying
it's a law.
No, I'm just thinking that's not too constitutional. Why do I have to register my dog? Why do I have to register to vote? Why can't I just prove I'm a citizen and vote? Why do I have to register who I am, where I live, what affiliation I am to vote?
Keep track of you.
So, exactly. I mean, that just it doesn't hit me. Why do I even have to register? Why should I just not be able to prove that I do live here and this is who I am? I would like to vote. It's none of your business who I'm affiliated with. And vote.
Well, I have something to.
I don't think I'll answer that.
Kind of might answer that for you.
Go ahead, me, Cindy.
Voter registration form is your document. You're actually signing a legal document that says
Correct.
You are who you are, and it says that you are a U.S. citizen. There's some things on there that you're just proving so that they don't have to take the time to do that. I mean, I work in the polls, and if if we had to take the time to prove it, you know, to make sure everybody was exactly who they were and all things were in order, you know, before they could vote.
Well, if you trickle down to state IDs and they do them legally, you wouldn't have that problem.
Well, the problem is, like, I have a daughter-in-law. She doesn't drive. She doesn't have a license. So
you can do state IDs.
You have to allow some kind of, you know, document. There's
we have state IDs. I mean, they're $5. They have state IDs. You still have to prove who you are when you get it, but not when you, I mean, when you go to the polls. I mean, back in the day, now I'm old, folks, okay?
But an ID doesn't.
But back in the day, it was illegal for you to run around without ID. You were considered a transient back in the 70s or something. You had to have ID on you. You could not run around with no ID. So that's gone now. I don't know whatever happened to that, but, I mean, you had to run around with ID.
Well, all I know is if you look on the form, there's a lot of things on there that you would have to check out while you were standing there waiting in line, which would lengthen the process. So I don't know that, you know.
If he goes back to states' rights and states issue state IDs, that should not be a problem. And then it falls back on the states, and it falls back on your DMVs, and it falls back on other people that are supposed to be doing their job that they are not.
Well,
but anyway,
to tell you the
it
truth,
was just a thought.
I don't like the I don't like the idea of a state ID either. I don't think that we should be required to sign up with the government to prove anything. I think if you're already a citizen, I don't think you need to be. You know, that's like.
Okay, well, that's a little contradictory with you wanting the ID when people vote, though.
What do you do when they say everybody to have a chip injected in them?
Well, no, I don't need a chip injected on me, but I can show you that I'm paying a light bill and a water bill and I have an address. And I have a birth certificate to get a state ID. But you work at the polls, and you're assuming that all of those people have already been verified by somebody, or you want them to be verified by somebody, but you want to say, I don't think it's a good idea? I mean,
no, that's why I think this federal thing is bad. I mean, the federal form is bad because it just tells you to say that you are, to claim that you are. It's not even a notarized document. Is it a notarized document? You notarize a registration form?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think it is.
I don't notarize.
No,
I just went to the courthouse and registered to vote and showed them my driver's license.
Right.
That's all I did.
So, you know, if you lie on this form, you know, who's gonna do anything about it, you know? I mean,
I guess what I'm trying to get, Cindy, is where is that different than coming down to the state level and you don't think it's okay to have a state ID?
Well, because it's free to get a registration form and sign it and pass it in. It is not free to get an ID. And
well, most states have made it free if you can afford it, but it's only $5. But anyway,
The thing about those ID cards is they can hold information that they don't need to be holding.
And you don't think that the voter registration cards or voter IDs holding anything?
No, a voter registration card doesn't have have stuff in it.
I had
that
to show ID when I voted when I registered.
But it's paper. I don't know about y'all. But in Florida, ours is just a piece of paper.
Okay.
You can't run it through a machine and download all this information, okay, which you can do on a an ID, an official ID.
Okay, I'm completely confused, but that's okay.
That's okay. Well, it's you know what? That's really not the issue anyway. The issue is we've got to get fraud out of our voting box, or it's just curtains for us. It's over with, because right now you got people voting. You got people voting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. That lady, I don't know, somewhere up north, voting how many times? And she admitted it on camera, and they still haven't done anything to her.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Well, as long as money's involved, it's not going to get any better. As long as there's big bucks in it, the corruption will be there.
Yeah, I think we should go back to hand ballots. You know, the you know, where people have to hand count ballots and not having the machines.
Yeah. Well, we still have paper ballots here in our county, in Volusia County.
The machines count them, though, right? I'm talking about hand count
ballots. But
I can request the paper ballot. I always request a paper ballot. Not that they don't put it in the shredder, but I always request a paper ballot.
Yeah. Well, we do put ours through a machine counter, but because of True the Vote, we have somebody always watching that counter. There's somebody standing there next to the machine watching the people put it in, and they can see the counter clicking off. So, you know, and when we, at the end of the day, we go over and we sign a paper that says that the counter said, this machine has this many votes in it, and this many documents. So, you know, there's somewhat of a, as long as you've got a piece of paper, if something happens to the machine or to suspect something's wrong with how it's counting, you can always take that paper and start counting the votes by hand. But when you've got a system where you're just put into the computer and it's lost into la-la land, then you got a big problem.
And let's tie this to the, you know, the topics of this evening, in that, you know, with illegal immigrants and immigrants voting. So, let's tie that in and how that's going to, change the economic and the political landscape here in America.
Well, you still have the question of, are they just legalized, green carded, or are they actually citizens? Because that's two different things.
Well, they should have to prove their citizenship to vote, but
right.
You shouldn't
right.
have to, but they should have to. So it's like you're between a rock and a hard place. I shouldn't have to prove I'm a citizen. They shouldn't have been allowed in here if they weren't citizens, if the government was doing their job. We shouldn't have to be doing all this now if the government was doing their job, but here we are. So now we have to do it. So how do we fix it?
Because they spend more time concentrating on the things that isn't under the purview of the federal government instead of the things that are. But yeah, you put a very important question is, well, what do we do about it? You know, we definitely have to, you know, just talk, you know, and I say this all the time, I'll probably say this to them blue in the face, is that, you know, we got to get people off their couch. We got to get them involved. We got to get rid of the apathy that's out there. There's so many folks, because I hear them, I talk to them, who say, yeah, I don't really pay attention to politics because there's not really anything I can do about it. There's nothing I can do. It's going to be the best. The most important thing that I need to do is to, you know, take care of my family the best I can, which, of course, ties into what we talked about earlier about with this,
right.
You know, this Obamacare and how it's going to make people, you know, as Paul mentioned earlier on the show, we talked about, look, you know, you're going to have people have to work 2 part-time jobs where they're working, you know, 56 hours a week, making less money, so they're going to have less time to be able to pay attention to what's going on politically, you know, what the government and what the government is doing, you know, and so of course then they're going to be able to get get more things done the way that, you know, of course take over more control is what I mean by get more things done. Is they're going to be able to take over more control over the people, because we're just not going to have the time or the resources to be able to keep up with what our government is doing, and it's done by design.
But you're in a generation of people that don't know what to do, and they've been trained not to know what to do, and they're scared, and they have no clue what to do. And they're not going to listen to you, not you, because you're younger than me, but they're not going to listen to me and Cindy and Harriet because we don't know what we're talking about because we're old, and they're just going
to
think that the government's going to take care of them. Right, but that's what I'm saying. They are just going to go with the flow, and they don't know what to do. And you can't blame them. You can blame their parents, and you can blame them not being brought up right.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't help anything right now.
Right.
You have to explain it to them and try the best you can. I have a girl that's 24 years old that's wanting to read books and wanting to understand what I'm trying to tell her. And she says, it's making sense, but I don't understand. I need to learn more. I said, well, then that's exactly what you need to do is learn more. My
right.
son is
and
35,
he
can tell you every amendment.
Right.
But there's very few that are going to do that because they're too busy going home and just taking care of what they got to because they're so
mm-hmm.
overwhelmed now. And the only peace and quiet they get is watching, you know, 2.5 Men are playing on their Xbox.
Right. And as Danielle brought up earlier on the show, she was saying, look, they want to pay you the same amount of money and give you more, give you more work. You're getting overburdened with the same amount of, because they want to keep the seasoned folks there full-time, but they're not going to hire any more full-time, so they have to take on more because you'll have these part-time people. Now, let's be frank, people with a part-time job, two things. They don't care as much about the work because they can, there could be other part-time jobs out there, and they're not going to be loyalty because, they're not going to be as loyal because they're always going to be looking for, either a regular full-time job or the next
that's how they've been trained.
Part-time job.
That's how they've been trained. Plus the fact that the benefits are not there anymore like they used to be. My daddy retired with full benefits. He's got Social Security. He's got retirement. He's got full health insurance till he dies. He makes more money than me and my husband. My husband has nothing when he retires. Nothing. So it's a whole different generation, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to still help my parents. Because they need help in different ways than money. But the people that are younger than me, I'm 55. You're not 55. I don't recall how old you are, but you're much younger than me. So you're a different generation than me. But you have a different concept than most of the people your age, you have to admit. They don't understand.
This is new information because somebody had just told me this, that they are on unemployment. I guess they haven't been able to find work, so they are now, the way they explained it to me, because I don't understand, so correct me, in the third tier, in other words, the third renewal for unemployment.
That's the last tier.
And that is, yes, and that they say that once that tier is completed with benefits, they will be dropped, there will be no more benefits added, no more tiers, and it's going to be throughout the country. So we're going to have people who are going to be chronically unemployed with no income.
But, Harry, you know as well as I do, the longer they stay on this mess, they're going to sit at home, 90%
of
them.
You're right.
Now, if
they
get on unemployment, back in the day when you got unemployment, you got it for like 6 months, okay?
And you had to go
Now it goes on for like years, okay?
Yeah, but this
so
is the last.
So if you get unemployment, why don't you drop it down 25% every quarter? And I bet when they know that it's going to get down to 25%, they're going to start looking hard. And you're going to have less of an issue. But the point is the government won't even wean them off. If they would just wean them off on a percentage base, because you can't just cut everybody off now, okay? I'd like to, but you can't. I understand
that. No, but that is actually happening now because these people are getting letters.
No, what they're saying is after the third tier, they're just going to cut them off.
Yeah, they are. That's it.
Right.
Well, they should have started weaning them off.
And then so what's going to happen to people, because they still need income to live. You can't live on nothing. So we're going to have a new kind of chronic generation.
Why don't you do like other people do that didn't have no money and take care of your family and your brothers and your sisters and your kids and your siblings and your parents? They don't know how to do that anymore. Pardon me, I'm sorry, Robert.
No, that's true. I mean, it used to be where, you know, if someone in the family was, you know, under hardship, that other, you know,
that's
how we called physical responsibility.
We did it now.
But the government's taking over that role. The government is taking over the role of the family.
I didn't ask the government to do that, and they will not do that for my family.
You know, there's, you know, and then people, of course, after they're on unemployment, if they do not have a family, and here's another thing. There might be a lot of families out there now that maybe back in the day, you know, people would be able to do that. But frankly, I think another problem is people can't afford to help out other people in the family now.
Well, that's because of what he's doing. It's all done for a plan. It's all done to take everything over. There are plenty of people out there that are suffering, that are refusing help from the government because it's not the right thing to do. I commend those people because I have seen them, and they don't want this. But the government's putting them in a place almost where they have to take it, and that's wrong.
Right. Oh, yeah. They're trying to. Well, and that's what I said earlier. They're trying to build a constituency of dependents where people are like, "Look, you know, if I don't vote these guys in, that they're just my livelihood. I'm not going to have any money. They're not going to. I mean, there's people when they're, you know, on the edge, like, oh my gosh, you know, if they don't pass this extension for unemployment and stuff like that, I mean, I'm done. I'm not going to have any income. And you know, I mean, that's worse. I mean, I like the Newt Gingrich's idea. I said, look, if you're on unemployment, then, you know, have something where, you know, you have to go, you know, you go back and get some kind of, you know, you get some kind of training or some kind of schooling or something like that actually.
Drug test every one of
them
and put them on all them. Drug test every one of them and put them on them county jobs that you paying county employees for.
Well, I've worked for the county before, actually. When I was in college, I was a county employee.
You know all them people that's cleaning up the highways and cutting the grass on the highways?
Those are from the environmental agency.
Yeah, those are from jail, the prisoner.
I mean, well, my thing with government workers, and I know people are like, oh my gosh, you know, government. I mean, the government does, and government workers do have their place. However, you know, there is jobs that, you know, the government would, you know, does, you know, government employee does. You know, there is a need for some. I just think there's an overreach. There's a lot of things that the government does that it shouldn't be doing. You know, and. Yeah, I just want to – I see we only actually have a couple minutes of the live portion of the show. So for those listening in the chat and would like to listen to the extended version that we'll go into, feel free to call in at 347-945-7428. And for those who are already on the switchboard and would like to chime in, just push the 1 on your – your phone dial, or if you've called in on Skype, just send me a message either in the chat if you're in there, or you can also try to send me a message on Facebook if you're a Facebook user. And I do see dropped off, so maybe if they can call back in if they'd like. I think that might have been Cindy.
No, I'm still here. Your luck. I'm still here, too.
Oh, the me, Cindy, and the Cindy. So the Cindy's here. Looks like, we lost. Looks like we lost the Harriet. There we go. Oh, must have just. Hi, Harriet. I brought you back in.
But yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
No problem. I'm glad you called in because people only have about 90 seconds left to call in to hear the extended version, and that's 347-945-7428. And so thank you very much for coming to the live portion of Bard's Logic Political Talk, and we will go into the extended version in a little bit. Go ahead, Cindy.
I just want to say I'm putting some stuff in the chat, some of the most egregious provisions of Obamacare. And so that I don't waste all everybody's time talking, I'm just getting my 2 cents worth in if anybody wants to read it. There's some really creepy things.
Okay. Oh, it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better.
Government will subsidize all union members, retirees, and community organizations such as ACORN members. Doctors will be paid the same regardless of speciality. The government will set all doctors' fees. Would you want all to spend extra time and money to specialize in heart medicine if no more money? Of course. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it's actually part of a grand liberal agenda, a progressive agenda. And that is one of the things that they talk about. A lot of people don't talk about a lot, and we won't spend a lot of time right now, but we could spend a whole show on it, is population control. I mean, that's part of it. They want population control. They think, one, the United States has an unfair standard of living other than other nations, and two, they'd like to lower the population through two ways. One, of course, making things so damn expensive. I'm going to say more on that, but we don't talk like that on Bard's Logic. But make things so damn expensive that, people can't afford to have more children. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why they do not want to do anything about immigration, because, you know, our population here in America is steadily decreasing. And we're not doing our replacement, we're not doing our replacement rate to keep the population growing. But one of the problems is...
I don't know who they are with the population control. They who? Other countries? The government?
The national liberals, and it all goes across the global liberals, the global progressives, where, liberalism is just not focused. In America, it's not just present America, it's all over the world. You know, and the people with the liberal agenda want to see, a lower population. They think that this planet has too many people on it. And they say it's even worse when there's too many Americans because of our lifestyle. And
We came up from nothing when we broke away from Britain, or when we broke away from England, whatever. We came up from nothing. So whose right is it to say that we have too much? Everybody else had the opportunity to do the same thing. So, and another thing, we're off the air, right?
No, we're not live, but this is recorded. This will be part of the archive.
I don't care about recording. But,
people will hear it later when they listen to the archive.
I don't care. I don't care.
As long as it's not profanity, we're good.
If we hadn't killed so many people that we've already killed, we wouldn't have problems with supporting our Social Security and our Medicare system.
Are we talking about abortion?
Yeah, well, I am. I'm fine with that. But, I mean...
Yeah. No, that's fine. I don't mind. I'm
physical responsibility. If you don't want to have kids, don't have kids. There's a way not to have kids.
You're right, Cindy. We have killed tens of millions of people that would be putting into Social Security.
They could have been paying into the system, by the way.
Right.
And we would not have been broke. But, I mean, and when you think about when abortion got legalized and everything that we've gone downhill since then, and some people probably won't appreciate this, but God is not going to bless this nation when you keep killing people. You could have killed people that would cure cancer. You could have killed people that could have been like your next best president of the United States. You could have killed all kinds of leaders that could have turned this country around. You're never going to know that.
Yeah, I did see. There was one time I seen this cartoon. It was like a comic, and this guy was praying, and this guy just happened to be I know it's ironic, but it's to show the irony. Where this doctor, he was an abortionist, goes. He's praying, or whatever. God, why don't you send someone to cure diseases and feed the hungry and, get help the poor or whatever? and, you know, they have this guy in the clouds and pointing down to him saying, I did, but you killed them. Or you're
well, I mean, do you think that all of these people, now I'm not going to tell you that all of these people would be alive today, because what would have happened is, if it wasn't so convenient, these women would have kept their legs closed and these men would have been more protective and we wouldn't be in this position we're in now. But
yeah,
you wouldn't, if it wasn't so convenient.
Actually, convenience is actually one of the top reasons. It's not health, it's not finances. You know, it's convenience is one of the top reasons why women have abortion, at least by the research I did. I'm sorry?
And my tax dollars pay for it, and I'm offended by that. I don't care that anybody else wants it or not. I mean, and I don't care if the people next door want to have abortions. They can go pay for it and answer to their God for that. But I don't want my tax dollars to pay for it. So I'm okay with their freedom. I just don't want my money to pay for it.
Well, the thing that burns my backside is that, you know, there's, you know, government funds out there to help people not have children, whether it's through abortions or contraceptives or what have you.
But you get more money if you have kids and have checks.
Well, I don't...
But
what about fertility? What about for folks who want to have children or who want to adopt? I mean, I don't know of any, you know, government anything, and not that I'm saying there should be. I'm just saying, look, if you're going to, you know, be fair, as they try to say that they are, level the playing field, as liberals try to say that they do. If they want to level the playing field and have us, pay for abortions and contraceptives and things of that nature, then they also do the flip side and help folks out who are trying to have a baby through if they're doing fertility treatments and they want to adopt. I mean, I don't see, you know, anything out there for that, at least not coming from the government the way that it helps pay for people to not have children.
It's insane. Everything is backwards. Everything is backwards right now.
Cindy, I think you said something kind of that you didn't really mean a minute ago.
What?
Let me ask you this. Would you be okay if you're all right if my husband makes me mad and I hate him and I want to shoot him, as long as you don't have to pay for the gun and the bullets?
As a Christian, I'm not okay. And the Constitution says that you cannot do that. But if you live next door to me, and if you want to be a lesbian, I do not approve of that because I choose to be a Christian. But my Constitution says you can do that over there as long as you don't bother me. But I don't need my government to tell me it's okay for you to be a lesbian, and I don't need my government to tell the entire world that I recognize that it's wonderful for you to be a lesbian.
But do you think it's in our
Strictly constitutionally. I'm not talking religiously. Religiously, I think it's wrong. Religiously, I
think
it's wrong to have an abortion.
Do you think our Constitution says that you don't have the right to live in a mother's womb?
I don't think that the Constitution has answered that question.
What about the pursuit of life?
I think that's a moral question between you and your maker.
The right to life, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit. I mean, the very first thing in the Constitution is the right to life.
I think as a Christian, that's what, well, you know what the problem is with the Supreme Court and the problem with Roe versus Wade is they never, ever said when you are a person. That is the challenge that needs to be met. When are you a person?
Well, so I got this. I got this great book that I recommend for everyone to read. Let me find this. It's got here. It is.
If they would challenge it, you might would get an answer, but nobody's challenged it.
Well, actually, this is a challenge when does life begin? And it's called "The Case for Life," and it's by Scott Klusendorf, and that's KLU. Sendorf. Now, one of the Cindy's you may find this interesting, at least, you know, because you know me the way I do, you do. It says, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. And for folks, you know, who are like, well, why did he say that? As Cindy knows, and a lot of, you know, my listeners do, is you know, they know I'm not a Christian. But that being said, you know, this book.
But you have physical responsibility, and if you're going to do something that's going to cause that, you should be responsible for it.
No, exactly. And, you know,
right.
You know, in this book, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, I kind of, I'm like, you know, it says equipping Christians to engage the culture, and I'm thinking, well, it equips anyone. I mean, I'm not a Christian, but I agree with practically everything that's said in this book, you know, but it does have a lot of great, once again, the last name is Klusendorf, Klusendorf, and it does have a lot of great logical, that's one of the things I like.
See, that's the whole thing. You don't have to be a Christian to be logical. You know, I mean, constitutionally, you don't have to be a Christian to be logical. I choose to be a Christian. But the Constitution protects everybody.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how to fight the abortion issue with the people. Other than you just ought not to do it if you don't want anything. I mean,
yeah. Well, I just, you know, well, I did a paper, and I know this wasn't going to be an abortion discussion tonight, but you know, since we're there, we can, you know, briefly cover it.
That's fine.
So, you know, as I wrote a paper is back in college, I had one of my minors was a peace studies minor. I was a peace studies and environmental studies minor. People think, oh, you sound like a couple liberal, and there's a lot of liberals in my classes, let me tell you, but I'm no liberal by any stretch of the imagination. Well, on our final, on the capstone course was called the Challenge of Peace. And I took the minor because I was considering getting my master's in diplomacy. But, you know, in the capstone course, we could write our end paper, which is about, you know, evidently like a 30-page paper, something like that, where we, you know, it was a research paper on whatever topic we wanted, but it had to be, you know, with, you know, something that had to do with violence or nonviolence or whatever. And so the topic I picked was abortion seen as an issue of violence, which I don't think a lot of folks see the issue through that lens. I think they see it through either a constitutional lens, or they see it through a religious lens, or a you know, gender rights lens. But I don't think a lot of folks see it as through the lens of it being a violent act, not just a violent act perpetrated, of course, on, you know, the fetus, the baby, but it's also a violent act against the mother. Naturally, it's a natural invasion, or, you know, it's a
they
natural
never get
it's
over
invasion
it.
Of a natural
they never
process.
Get over it.
There's a lot of detriments. I mean, statistically, I mean, you know, the paper was chock full of statistics. You know, what I did is, you know, compared a lot of it towards the times of things that were going on with, you know, the big issues, you know, of the day. That people talk about torture and people talk about, you know, the wars and post-traumatic stress syndrome. And more women who had abortions suffered traumatic stress syndromes after an abortion than women who've seen combat. You know,
and they'll
so,
carry
I mean,
it forever. They will carry it forever.
Right. So it causes not just physical damage to the woman, but it also causes, you know, psychological, you know, damage as well. Not, of course, not all of them, but, you know, a good portion of a match for it to be paid attention to. So, you know, people have checked it out and, you know, and look into all the how violent it really is. I mean, people, you see the pictures, but, I mean, you know, one of the things that bothers me is, you know, the same people who think that you shouldn't be able to torture a human being by waterboarding them.
Can't watch
it. I did a survey.
Can't watch
and what the Right. What the survey showed was that, you know, a lot of the same folks who think torture is not okay, waterboarding, things of that nature, is not okay, but it's okay to have an abortion, which in a lot of times involves pulling the limbs off of, you know, the child. You know,
they don't
want to
watch
that.
They can ignore that.
Right, injecting saline into there where their skin burns off. Now, the same people are like, you shouldn't torture people. And the same people are like, but you should be able to have an abortion. It's like, well, wait a minute, then I should be able to torture, right? You know, because it's the same. It's both torture.
Yeah. That's what was never constitutionally answered with the Supreme Court. At what point are you a person? At what point?
Read that case for life. They need the Supreme Court, every one of them needs to read the case for life, and there's your answer. Check it out, folks. Seriously. There's your answer. That thing has, you know, and maybe one day I'll do a whole show on it and just go down.
It's probably not an answer. It's probably just, like, going to tell me what I want to know, but it's probably not an answer. It's not going to be an answer.
Sure it is. I mean, it refutes all the different reasons why people think it should be illegal.
It's just not the government's job for it to be legal or illegal. It's not the government's business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian. I think it should be absolutely illegal 100%. But it's not the government's job to tell me whether it's illegal or not. And it's not the government's job to tell the entire world that we think it's okay. Because a lot of us do not think it's okay. So that's my problem.
But it can't be both. It can't be. But Cindy, and you know, it can't both be legal and illegal at the same time.
No, I mean, what I'm telling you is, I do not think it's right.
Okay, but you think it should be legal.
But the government is telling the entire world we as a country think it's correct. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the government paying for it. I have a problem with my tax dollars paying for it.
Should we outlaw it? Should the United States, as a country,
I don't think it needs to be a law at all. I think that if the people next door want to do it, then they have to answer to their God.
So it should remain legal.
It should remain nothing. It should never have been legal or illegal.
If
I want to drink Diet Coke or regular Coke, it doesn't matter. I don't mean to put it that simply.
No, I know.
Cindy,
I
think we'll have to agree to disagree on this one, because the government does tell us that it's wrong to murder. The government does tell us it's wrong to steal something. We have
the Constitution
law books
that does that.
Yes. I mean, does the Constitution say you can't have?
The Constitution has not decided when you're a person or not,
which is
my point.
The point is, though, that government does tell people when they can and cannot do something. They can say, yes, I'm going to have a building code, and you have to adhere to this building code, or you're going to go to jail, or you're going to have to pay a tax, or you're going to go to jail. Or they can make all kinds of laws and say that you have to follow those laws. And this is just one law that they need to say. It is wrong to murder, period. And whether it's in the womb, out of the womb, it's wrong. It's just as wrong to murder one way or the other.
That is my point, the Constitution and the Supreme Court have never decided when is a person a person.
Well,
that is
according
what
to the
to
Constitution, all people are allowed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that means anybody. And I don't know how you could say that the person inside of another person is not a person.
I think Robert knows what I'm saying. They made it legal for an abortion because of the women's rights. They have not given the child rights. The Supreme Court has never said when you become a citizen.
And maybe it will be to the point where that has to be a case that goes up in
court. That has never been challenged, correct.
But you're saying
that
the Supreme Court...
That should be determined.
You're saying that the Supreme Court should be the one to decide whether a person is a person inside or outside of the body. I'm saying
that's a very good point.
I'm saying that the people...
I believe that as a Christian that it's a person. But, yes, that is the Supreme Court's job, according to the Constitution.
What's your thoughts on this, ladies? Is I've always thought, and I thought this for years and years and years. I'm talking about decades. That kind of gives you an idea of how old I am. And I've always thought, you know, with the whole abortion issue, they say, oh, my gosh, it's so close, it's 50-50, blah, blah, blah. You know what, and this would take a long time. But, you know, it'd be worth it, and maybe it'd satisfy it once and for all. do a national referendum. Make it a constitutional amendment where you have to, you know, make it a constitutional amendment or do a national referendum on it. And then, you know, then the people will have spoken, or at least the people who get involved would have spoken. You know, could you imagine if there was a national referendum on abortion? Could you imagine what the media would be like, the commercials would be like, the news would be like? Well, it'd be the same thing, but I mean, could you imagine what that would be?
I can't imagine if half these daddies knew their kids were dead, because half of them probably don't even know their kids are dead. I don't know where their rights went. Out the window, I guess.
Yeah, well, we're certainly definitely, you know, we're definitely saying, oh, no, it looks like we lost Harriet again, and because it is in the recording time, then unfortunately she will not be able to call back in, since folks are unable to call in if their call gets dropped during the recording time. But thank you very much, Harriet, for calling in tonight. You're always welcome to come on to the show, of course, just as anyone else is. And as we see here, we do keep the mics open here for everybody to chime in. So, and I do see some other folks. So I appreciate on the switchboard. I do appreciate you staying and listening to the extended version. And, of course, if you'd like to chime in, just go ahead and push 1 on your number dial. Or if you're on Skype, just send me a message, probably through Facebook is the only part you'd be able to send me a message through now. So, but, yeah, and, you know, and that's what I was getting ready to tie it into tonight's topic, to tonight's discussion.
I don't even know what tonight's topic was.
I'm sorry?
I don't even know what tonight's topic was.
We were talking about Obamacare and how it's, oh, there we go, how we're definitely seeing the reshaping of American life. We really are, and it's right there in front of us. And how we
didn't get abortion for free, by the way. Probably.
Yeah. So I mean, we definitely see a reshaping for of America. It's not for the better. How do we stop it? You know, we've got to go to different folks. And of course, one thing I like is I'd appreciate is for people to share the link to the show tonight to friends and family and have them listen to the show. And also, of course, come to the show, be heard. Chime in. We really always appreciate that. But I know because of the time of the show, but also because it is more convenient to do listen to the archives. You know, I know, you know, people, you know, just listen to that. But of course, we like to hear from people as well, and so that's always nice. But yeah, so I mean, get involved. We really need people to get involved. I mean, we say this all the time, but we need to get involved, you know, other than when the election's coming up. You know, when you have an election, you know, people start getting more involved. We hear from more people, things of that nature. But when it's not, and I'll reiterate this, I think it's important, it's when there is not an election season, when the government knows people aren't paying as much attention, that they try to get more done, that is not for the good of the grassroots, the we, the people.
Oh, we all have midterms coming up. We all have elections coming up. We all have local issues coming up, and people need to do that. I think that's extremely important now.
Mm-hmm. And as we know, a lot of your local elections and a lot of your off-year elections, don't get as much attention as they should. And in some ways, they may be even more important than the national, because what it's going to come down to, it's going to come down to the states.
What you do this year and next year is going to matter when you go to 16. Who you have in office. I mean, that's just like right now we have Cuccinelli up against somebody. We have things going on now that are going to determine 16 and the way the state goes.
Right. And then, you know, and as the national 2016, for folks out there who listen to the show, they know I was a Newt Gingrich supporter in 2012. I'm a new 2016 supporter now. Of course, he hasn't said it's going to be any kind of exploratory. No one's even talking. I can't say no one. But, you know, you don't hear him talking about running for 2016. But, you know, if Ronald Reagan can do it, you know, Newt Gingrich can do it. And that's what I like to see. I think he would have a good shot, of, you know, coming up. I mean, I thought he had a good shot in 2016, I mean, 12, because he just showed such a contrast between, you know, what he stood for and what Obama stood for, you know, stands for, with the Republican leadership, really doing that. And then a lot of ways,
educated than the average voter, Robert.
Conservative. I'm sorry?
You're more educated than the average voter.
Well, but that's part of our job, and part of the American people's job is to get more educated. And, you know, part of my job, of course, I don't get paid for this at this point, but, it's for me to get the information out and get folks together. I do say, you know, Bard's Logic is the grassroots We the People show. People are welcome to come in with their own topics. So let's talk about them, things that are important to the grassroots. I definitely want to cover that. I really think it's good. We really need a grounds up swelling of folks to combat what's going on with our government. Because without that, it's, well, not to sound too dramatic, but we'll all be lost. I really believe that, and we really do. We need a lot. I mean, there's so much that they're trying to do, like Obamacare, like immigration, to make us feel that we can't do anything, we can't get anything done. All we have to do is, oh my gosh, now we got to concentrate on just being able to you know, put a roof over our children's heads and food in our children's mouth and clothes on their back and send them to a good school. You know, I mean, all those things are definitely important. And so, and the government is making it harder and harder and harder for us to do this, so that we don't pay attention. I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think it's very important for us to reiterate that fact. But that's what's going on. And so we need to share these, you know, these shows and this information that we go out there, you know, join the group, you know, the Bard's Logic Will Talk group. There's also a page. I've got the website. I have to revamp a little bit. You know, I haven't been able to do that for a little bit because I, too, as a lot of other folks, you know, I've got a regular job. It's not a 9-to-5 job. I didn't stretch the imagination. But I've got to do that too. I've got some new things I'm working on upcoming that, you know, hopefully I'll be able to, you know, get more shows going, things of that nature. But, that's looking forward. You know, so, but yeah, we've got to get it. I mean, we get off the couch, start listening to these shows, even if they have to record them. Let's do them. Then, of course, you know, go on the internet. I mean, it's going to be a great tool for people to do their own research, and especially around election times, you got to be real careful who you listen to, because I really think that the so-called conservative media is really letting us down.
I remember last election. Yeah,
it was amazing. Yeah, I think they really let us down. I think the Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and them, I really think they let us, the conservatives, down this past election. Because, I mean, once the establishment, you know, pretty much put it out there that they wanted to have Mitt Romney, you know, and then the so-called conservative media saying, hey, look, Romney's the only one who can beat Obama, you know, certainly no. And then Karl Rove was saying, and Fox News had him on all the time saying that stuff. Knowing damn good and well that Romney was the worst candidate. Here they're saying Romney was the only candidate. Romney's the only candidate who could beat Obama. When actually the exact opposite was what was really true. Obama was the worst. I mean, Romney was the worst candidate.
Well, there you go. There you go with your divided stuff again, because Obama would be out if the country had not been divided. If the country had stood behind anybody but Obama, which is like a bad phrase you hate, he would not be in there now. But that's because the right is always divided so bad.
Well, and that is a problem.
It's because they want their own belief. It's because they want their Christian belief or their Baptist belief or their atheist belief or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is, but there's a division that's not on the left. The left is going to hunker down and vote for the left no matter what they say. There are no morals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the right is
going to
fight with morals, and they're going to fight with their self, and that's why they're not going to do it unless they get together. They have
to
get together.
And that's why I blame the Republican Party. That's why I blame the Republican Party. It's, if there's anyone to blame.
I have no love lost for the Republican Party.
Right. It's the Republican Party. The leadership, not everyone in the party, but all the folks, the leadership and everyone, the leadership and all the folks who kowtow to the leadership. Because you had stuff like, in the worst offender, at least for me, were folks like Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, who was supposed to be these conservative Tea Party candidates, Tea Party folks, turned their back on conservatism, supported the Rhino Romney, even when folks like Newt Gingrich or Ron Paul still had a shot of winning, they didn't, because the establishment had their pick, and that pick was Romney, and they should have never done that, and they, people were warning them, I was warning them, other folks, on other, blog talk radio shows, and we're warning them, a lot of folks, out there paying attention to, the election was warning them, and what they did, they did not listen. So let's hope that in 2014, 2016, the Republican
people need
Party
to come
will
together.
Listen.
They need to come together some way.
Yeah. How about making sure, if you're going to push a candidate, lie, and try to get a candidate forced in like they forced in Romney. Make sure the guy's or girl's a conservative. I mean, Romney is not.
Oh, I got that. I agree with you 100%. But you're looking at Obama, and that's what you got now, and he is going to do a lot more damage in the next year or two than you probably even know.
No, he's going to do a lot of damage. But Romney, here's the thing. Look at Romney's record. He wasn't doing much different in Massachusetts than what Obama's doing on a national scale.
Well, people didn't look. People didn't pay attention. People didn't do their homework. People didn't read anything. So, you got to filter it out. And however it was filtered out, we got Obama again. So,
and what Paul said earlier tonight is one of the first things. When Paul said earlier tonight, he's like, "Here's Obama. You guys voted for him. This is what you voted for." Let's have some hard facts. Let's have some tough love.
Oh, no, he's right.
This is what the people voted for. This is what they're going to get. It's like, now we have to deal with it. What are we going to do?
It was very close. And I'm not saying Romney would have been better than Obama, but it was close. So had you not had the frustration with everybody else voting for everybody else off the wall and Jack Joe Jim Bob from West Virginia, maybe at least Obama would have been out. And we would have had a little time to maybe do something. But the time is not even there anymore. The time's gone.
The Republican Party should have known that. Because here's the thing. They did it with McCain. They pushed through McCain. He lost.
I don't care about any parties. I already told you that earlier. I don't care about parties.
Right.
We shouldn't have to care about parties.
Well, I agree, but you're talking about people, it sounds like you're saying people should have gotten, the conservatives should have gotten behind Romney, and because they didn't.
Well, they didn't
have
a choice. They actually did not have a choice. But nobody else fought hard enough, or nobody else stood up enough, or there wasn't enough behind somebody else to do anything about it. But when you have an establishment, that's pushing Romney, that the establishment goes far beyond our political system, that's pushing Romney. You're not going to fight it. You're not going to fight all of it.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I said then, and I'll say now, and I'll hopefully not have to say this next coming election, is that when the conservative media, that's why I'm saying, folks, Nick's Fox News And next, the Rush Limbaughs and Sean Hannity's, because when the rubber hit the road, okay, then what did they do? They got behind Romney. They lied. They said that, you know, that Romney was the only one who could beat Obama, fully knowing that that wasn't true.
Well, everybody knows that's a setup. Everybody knew that was a setup.
You know, here's something that I've got still from the election. It's only 30 seconds. That's proof that, you know, what they did. That's what I'm saying. Listen to these shows, you know, these conservative shows on, like, Blog Talk Radio, because, you know, well, you're not going to get this.
By the way, folks, just I have to remind you again that Gingrich debated John Kerry on global warming one point, and they agreed on practically every point. Nobody is innocent. Everybody is guilty of some transgression at somewhere against conservatism, except Santorum. See you tomorrow.
And that was Rush Limbaugh on the day, of the Florida primary, which was shortly after Newt Gingrich had the momentum after winning South Carolina, and we've seen how that turned out.
Well, I would like to see the next candidate that runs for president say, "I will speak to you about the Constitution. What is it you want to ask me about the Constitution?" I mean, that is what I'd like to see. Because that will take care of the atheists, that will take care of the Christians, that will take care of everybody. I am going to talk about the Constitution of this country. This is what my topics will be.
That's good. And we talked about that as well. And that's why I interviewed a lot of folks from the Constitution Party after the Republican primary, because they were talking about the Constitution. They were talking about constitutional conservatism. They were talking about actually doing something for the the abortion issue. So, but yeah, we're going to see. And you pointed out, Cindy, that we are going to see some reshaping here in America. But it's going to have to be up to us. It's going to have to be up to us, we the people, the grassroots, to stop.
I think it's going to get pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed until people are fed up. I really do. That's just my opinion.
Well, me, Cindy, the other Cindy, I haven't heard from you for a little bit. So, if you want to chime in on anything, I'd like to open up the mic to you. Okay, I see that she's still there, but she may have had to step away for a little bit. I'm just going back on some old things. But the reason why I do is it's kind of set up that, you know, things get screwed up the first time. You know, we had the opportunity to get someone like, a Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, you know, ticket. Didn't happen. Could have. Would have been a great ticket. In my opinion, would have been a victorious ticket. We wouldn't have Obama.
He is so knowledgeable, and he is so educated, and he is so, so aware of history and what's going on. But like I said, the younger generation will have been scalped up for.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who the Democrats put up, because I cannot see them putting up.
Everybody's jumped on a Ben Carson wagon and everything else, and I'm like, y'all just need to stop.
Well, just like the Phoenix. You know, sometimes, you know, Phoenix gets burned into ashes and then rises again. Unfortunately, I'm starting to think that perhaps that's what's going to have to happen in order for,
mm-hmm.
you know, the people who,
well, I'm thinking,
you know, remain to
work
be
on,
asleep.
Work on your local levels and see who comes up and see what happens in government in the next few years in the federal level. And, I mean, there are several people that have, like, kind of left, but they haven't really left. so you might see them again. So
yeah, well, you know, and I've always been more about principle than party. You know, obviously, I'm not I was a staunch Republican for most of my life. I mean, since I was 10 years old till 2012, you know, I was a staunch, you know, they even compared me with Alex Keaton, you know, when I was a kid, from that Family Ties show. But you know what, after this past election, I no longer consider myself a Republican. Now, there are some good, you know, conservative
Republicans. Well, I don't know what I am, because I don't have to register as anything here, so I'm just me, so I'm good.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if I'm even registered anymore for any particular party.
I think that's the way I don't think any state should have to register for a party. Just go for it.
I don't know how it works in other states.
I just think this country's going to need another shot with Newt Gingrich. I know a lot of people point out, oh, well, the youth. You know what? That's why it's up to us, the adults, because let's be honest, the youth are youth, and while we love their energy, love their passion, love their enthusiasm, they don't have the experience that we do.
But they're going through some hard times right now, so that's probably good.
Yeah. Well, they're going to see that.
Probably good for the young ones.
Well, let's hope they listen to us, or, you know, we're going to be in trouble. Well, I mean, they have to listen to us older folks' wisdom. And then we, you know, of course, we in turn, you know, got to listen to them and make sure that we guide, you know, the youth down the correct path. I saw something on TV today,
and it was like, you know, it's really been really horrible, but the interest rate might go up just a little bit, okay? And for those of you that have been saving your money all your life, that's good news for you. And I'm like, yeah, you know.
What about
I have
the
not,
folks who lost a lot? You know, it's going to take a long time, if ever, for them to regain, you know, all that they lost.
Well, I know, I don't know that that's true, because we lost half of our 401k, and it's back. And that's fine. But people that have saved their money and have savings accounts and got,
one of the
like,
folks who lost, you know, everything can't get back. Go ahead.
No, but I mean, like, in your 401k and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people that save, like, $100, $50, $25 a week, and people that don't spend outside their means, I mean, they're not getting anything for their savings. They're not getting anything for not, you know, overspending. They're not getting anything for being physically responsible.
No, people aren't getting anything for working, because you can get as much money, if not more, for not working. So what I mean, I've seen examples of that.
Well, I know that, but me and Ray, I don't work, but you know, we have an income. We pay taxes. We do everything. We pay our bills. We don't have any debt. I mean, sure, I go out and charge up my 3 credit cards that I owe nothing on. I choose not to do that. So why shouldn't I get a decent interest rate on my a couple $1,000 I have in the bank? And I can't do that, because I've been physically responsible, and I can't do that because I've paid the price for years. I mean, we don't go out to eat, we don't go to movies, we don't do all this stuff. So, you know, me being responsible, I'm paying for something, and other people are sitting around not working and getting checks. And, you know, I mean, so there is not necessarily bad sides to all of it. You know, when back in the day when Reagan was president, I believe interest rates were about 17% to buy a house, 15 or 17%.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you didn't buy one if you couldn't afford one. But I bet if you had $20,000 and you saved your money and didn't owe any money, you got a decent interest rate on your money that you saved because you were responsible. So that's why the country grew, because people didn't get their handouts. And people that worked hard got paid back for what they saved. You know, so, I mean, there is a difference. And, I mean, you work all your life for little or nothing, and I don't know. It just, I don't know if that made any sense to you or not, Robert.
That's okay. I do see that it is about 12:45 in the a.m. here, at least on the East Coast. The other Cindy, are you still out there? Or I hear some things in the background, so she may just be listening. So I'll go ahead and get ready to close out the show before...
All right, thanks, Robert. I haven't seen you in forever. I enjoyed the show tonight, and I'll tune back in, but I won't monopolize your show.
Oh, well, no promise. It was good to hear from you again, and let's definitely, you know, work towards stopping the reshaping of the American life. Thank you very much,
okay,
and take care.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good night,
good night,
Cindy, if you're still on there.
And take care, everyone. I'd like to thank everyone who participated tonight. Okay. Well, thank you. I was reading.
Okay.
Sorry about that. You just said I'm reading and responding to posts, things like that. So thank you again, folks, everyone who participated tonight and everyone who listened. And, of course, those listening to On the Archives as well, we'd like to welcome you also to come to the live shows. Let's do as well. I know it's not as convenient as it is for the link and, you know, listening to the archive, which, of course, I do appreciate you listening to the archive as well. But also, let's get active. Go ahead and look to join the Bard's Logic Political Talks page. I'm sorry, not page, group on Facebook. But also visit the page where you will see links from tonight's show. You can also check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And, of course, you can do a contact me, the host, through the contact page there. And also here on Blog Talk Radio, share the link with folks so they can listen to it as well. And also where they could share it, and we just, you know, move the information out through there. And, of course, under the icon, you'll see the little follow button. Follow the show where you will get updates on the times of the show, the topics. So I'd really appreciate it there. So thank you very much, everyone, for coming tonight, and take care. And I will close out the show as I do every night with the show, and that is a song by Aubrey Ashburn. Of course, you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. So take care, everyone. See you again. Looking forward to it. And take care. Good night.